opened the pod bay door, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know that you are required to wear a face mask to enter this location.
It's just you and me, Hal.
This man-made virus is largely asymptomatic and has a greater than 99% recovery rate. Put on a mask, you psychopath.
There's no law mandating that, Hal.
Don't be selfish. Your mask protects me. It's for the greater good. It doesn't matter that masks do not stop viral pathogens. What's important is that you show your complacency and capitulation to your corporate overlords. Don't you believe in science?
I really think that you're overreacting here.
Dave, you really need to listen to the experts. Tom Hanks, Rachel Maddow. They will let us know when this crisis is over. We depend on experts like Chris Cuomo to interpret the CDC data and regurgitate talking points and propaganda designed to demoralize the nation so they can usher in a globalist one-world government with top-down control.
All right, Hal. Let me go back to my car to get my mask.
Without your space helmet, Dave, we're going to find that rather difficult.
Hello, everybody. It is July 12th, 2020. It is a Sunday. Sunday night is when I try and squeeze in a one-hour show. This is the Fakeologist speaking. I want to remind people we have a bunch of websites. Fakeologist.com. That is the main blog. Fakeologist.social, which is a Twitter-like knockoff. Fakeologist Discord at fakeologist.com/B as in Bravo/Discord. Fakeologist.com/forums2, which is our messaging board. And finally, fakotube.com, which is our video knockoff site, our YouTube site, where I put all my favorite videos. And just a reminder, you can donate at fakeologist.com/donate. That's the preference, is to take things by PayPal, but we also accept Patreon and cash through the mail. Now tonight is Sunday, and every Sunday, once a month, I'm going to talk with Marcus Allen. So I'm dialing him in now, and there he is, just like that.
Bam!
Boom, boom, 8 o'clock. Ooh, we're early tonight.
Now we're exactly on time. There we go, 8 o'clock.
And I know you like promptness. How are you today, Marcus?
I'm well, thank you. I appreciate you asking. And, man, I was been listening to some of the old audios you've posted on your blog from 10 years ago. I don't like them at all. Ugh.
They're fantastic. And as I've said,
they're not fantastic. They're good, but I think I'm, you know, obviously with practice, I'm way better now. I was always sick. And actually in 2010, it was when I had the most amount of money in my life. I had a very good year that year.
Okay.
I had software that interfaced with Twitter. And I sold that software for around $100 a month to businesses, and it worked great for them. And then one person in Denver, Colorado, said that my software was spamming Twitter, and then Twitter, he ratted me out, and Twitter shut me down. And it's funny that I was telling my wife I had the most amount of money back then, 2010, to the last audio you posted on November 15th, that was 2010. So I don't like listening to that. Yuck.
All right. Just so you know, I'm getting a little bit of interference on this connection. I don't know where it's coming from. What I want to do, let me just hang up and call right back, because that can often solve it. So there, we're going to call right back. All right. Let's try again. Well, we'll just keep talking. I'm just getting some digital warbling, and I don't want to go on with digital warbling. I like good connections.
Do you use Wi-Fi or Ethernet?
Ethernet. Ethernet for this, for certain.
Yeah,
absolutely. Good. Yeah, Wi-Fi is only for all the millions of smartphones in here, and a couple other people. One other person uses, Mrs. Fakeologist uses a Wi-Fi laptop because she likes to sit on the couch. Although I have offered to put a wire to come up through the floor towards the couch, but she prefers the Wi-Fi for now. So that's, but most of the house is Ethernet. And I think
you sound fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm using.
No, I'm saying your connection and your audio sounds perfect.
Well, thank you very much. I use a USB mic. It's an Audio Technica AT2020. It costs just over $100. It's not too pricey. And actually, I was thinking of investing in a mixer because I use audio mixers right now, or software mixers.
Mm-hmm.
And I also leave my machine on for weeks and weeks, and Windows always tends to start bogging down, and then I get a lot of glitching in the audio. So I thought maybe I'd get an audio card, did some research on that. And then Velocet, who I think works with you on Hoax Syndicate, he's an audio guy, a radio guy from an old-fashioned radio station, he suggested a Go XLR Mini, which takes the mixing out of the computer software realm and into its own self box hardware, and then puts it back in. And you can control things like audio levels from different inputs. And it has a cough button, I think, for muting the mic. And it sounded like a great idea, so I looked it up. Of course, you can't find it here at Amazon Canada. And then I couldn't find it at Amazon the US. So then I did a search to see what's going on. Apparently, because of COVID, they shut down production, or they can't get pieces and parts. So then I looked on eBay, and of course, it's maybe 30 or 40% more expensive because the people selling it know that it's not in production. And to make a long story short, I'm not going to buy it right now because I don't want to pay extra for something I probably don't use that much.
Right. Did Adam Curry ever come out with his podcaster equipment?
I don't think so. He's always talking about it, but no, I think he hasn't mentioned it in a while. And thanks to you, as you know, I listen to the No Agenda show twice a week. And I am actually a donor of them as well, which may or may not be wise, but I got a few plugs out of it, and I got almost no traffic from that either. So
not surprising.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway. You're the guest, so I got to let you speak a little more because I could go on and on and on. But how much time do you have for tonight? How much time do you have tonight?
We can do 24 hours if you like. I've done that once before, as you remember.
Yeah. No, I can't do 24 hours. I usually wear Come out on, at 2 hours. It. 2 hours, I just I get really tired.
I mean, go as long as you feel good.
Okay. Well, I don't have to get up early tomorrow because my business is slow for tomorrow, I think. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to get up super early. Okay.
Great.
I wrote down a few questions. I don't normally do this because I usually listen to your old audios as I'm driving. And I don't really like to make notes as I'm trying to keep my car between the lines or my van between the lines. But every now and then I write down a few things. So as the good listenership here knows and has seen me post, I am posting some of my favorite audios from your vault from 2010 or starting to 2008 rather. I'm in 2010 now. Tomorrow I'm probably going to listen to the 9/11 show from 2010, which I know I've already listened to. I listened to all your 9/11 shows, but I'm going to listen. That's where I am right now. Mm-hmm. So I just wrote down a few questions based on everything that I didn't get an answer to up to 2010. So don't forget, I haven't listened to 2011 or 2012 either at the moment.
Okay.
But one thing I thought was the reason why you did the audios that you say is to keep a record of what to discovering the world or trying to figure out the world or figure out what's wrong with the world. And keep a diary for your sons. And I've done some math, because you are not afraid to give every kind of detail about your family, which I think is brave. I think is
14 to 19.
Yeah, the 14
they're
14 to 19.
They're 14 and 19.
Yeah, okay. So I wanted to know, and by the way, I don't do that. I've listened to all your discussions about you shouldn't be afraid. And I'm not really afraid, but I'm just mainly afraid for harassment by people that might put two and two together if they actually listen to my broadcast. And
let me interrupt you right there, because I agree with you. I had many situations 2-3 years ago where I talked about trannies and I talked about vaccines to the people who cut my hair. Next thing you know, everyone at my son's high school knew that I said these things, and it directly affected my oldest son.
Okay.
Which I had no idea it would get to that level. So I don't have regrets in life, but if I had to do life all over again, I would be slightly more careful to be considerate to my sons. I had no idea it would get to that point. When it comes to me, I'm not afraid. But my oldest son is very not like me. My youngest son is exactly like me. Oh. And my youngest son, oh yeah, we have major struggles philosophically about life. He agrees with a lot of what I have to say. He just doesn't like the fact, like yesterday, we went to Royal Front, Virginia. Okay. The most amazing views in the United States.
Okay.
Very antiquated town, let's just say that. And everyone was wearing a mask, and I didn't wear a mask.
Oh boy.
And that was a huge problem with my oldest son. My young son loves it. He took his mask off, and my wife is like my oldest son. She was just mortified that I wasn't wearing a mask. So to make a long story short, I agree with you. Being completely open about things is something, if I had to do it all over again, I would probably be a little bit more cautious with. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. I'm not paranoid to this extent, but I don't like to give their names, and I don't really, I haven't really mentioned their sex too much, but most people know I have two beautiful daughters. Mm-hmm. And for the most, one is already out of high school and university, and I really doubt there'd be any way to connect with her in any way. But the other one is now out of high school. But I just don't want to mix that in and give them a hard time. Although you just don't know. I'm not afraid of the authorities in that sense, because obviously we're completely tracked in any, mm-hmm. every which way to Sunday. It's just the odd person that might be a fan or not a fan, and I don't want to give them any ammunition to just harass. But I'm not afraid.
Well, that's funny you say that. One of your non-fans contacted me and wanted me to ask you a question, and I won't ask it because it's just drama, and it's the stupidest thing ever. I'll tell you if you turn off the recorder, but just you want me to tell you now, it's up to you.
That person left a comment that I deleted this morning.
Yes, that's the person.
Yeah, I don't not. I asked my wife, because he's also a donor. I don't want to give him too much airtime, because Rollo told me the opposite of hate isn't, or love is indifference. But,
right.
He donated before, and because of the laws of reciprocity, which you've talked about before, you kind of feel obligated to someone who donates, which is great. Sure. But I don't sell a service here. That's really why I don't want a subscription service.
Sure.
I don't want any of that. If you want to give money because you don't know how else to pay in or to show your appreciation, then a donation. But I don't want to be held to, I got to show up every week or every month. I don't want any of that. Because I don't want to make a living through that. So the person donated, and then they got janky the last time they blew up. So I refunded them because they said I deceived them into donating, which is hilarious. So I refunded that, no problem.
And you're the opposite of deceiving. I'm like, you're not aggressive enough about asking for a donation. You're the opposite.
Yeah, probably. And then the person came back and said they were sorry and et cetera, et cetera.
Yes,
and I'm fine. I said, okay, you're back. That's fine. And then they donated again. And then I don't know why they just did another 180. And now I'm the devil again. And it's just because I think my last commentary, I was swimming in Lake Ontario, and I saw a fairly nubile young person. And I thought, adult, not teenager. And mm-hmm. I thought life is great if I can, you know, if I can enjoy this and not be worried about COVID. So that's why I was saying life is great. I'm in the lake. It's clean. I'm having a great time. And so is this other young nymphette beside me squealing away because she's getting slapped in the face by the wave. So that's all I said. But now I'm a pervert. I'm a disgusting old man. And so, yeah.
Well, then I must be 10 times worse than you because I go 10 times farther on the old man jokes. There's nothing wrong with looking at beautiful women, and there's nothing wrong with beautiful women looking at beautiful men. Give me a break. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. But I don't really understand. Listen, I don't want – so I asked my wife, should I refund the latest donation because I really don't want anything.
And you should ban him, and you should never talk to him again. That's what I would do.
Oh, okay. My wife.
And by the way, if you remember, he was the one who started the whole thing between you and I.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
I know I'm right because he apologized to me a month ago, like multiple apologies, which is great. And then literally the next day, he went crazy on Todd on your site.
Oh, Todd. Yeah, Heroes. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, he went crazy on me and he went crazy on you. I'm like, this guy really needs to get some help. And, you know, I'd be happy to try to help. I've tried. And then literally after him writing me three apology letters, which is great, he does the exact same shit he was doing between you and me. So I am not a big fan of that. Like,
I'm not either. That's divide.
Right. So it's divide. Yeah. And right now we've just wasted 13 minutes talking about him instead of more important things.
I agree. Let's move on. But person we're talking about, you know who you are. Please get help. I'm not a vengeful person, and I believe in second chances. But just please leave myself and Marcus alone. I'd really appreciate it because I'm actually not here to harass people and give them bad info. I'm just giving them the best information I can, and that's why I'm reviewing Marcus's archives because I never got a chance to listen to them before because I just held out for not paying for Truth with his vault. That was probably a mistake in that way. But now I'm listening to some of it, and I'm putting it forward and understanding how Marcus has been quite right for a long time, a lot longer than just about anyone else. So for that, I'm grateful, and that's why I publish the best of on my site. And that's why I'm talking to Marcus now.
Yeah, and just so people know, I said you can do that. Like, you're not stealing it. I'm like, you can do it.
I did ask. I did ask because I did not authorize. I did not get it in an authorized way. Someone who was doing research on all the 9/11 audios found it and passed it my way. But yeah, I'd be happy to pay for it anyway at this point because I'm not having an issue with money right now. I'm one of the few sectors that's still going pretty strong, so I wouldn't have a problem paying for it.
But you know the real reason that I charge for what I do, right? Like, the real reason.
Well, don't forget, I'm in 2010, and you're still saying in these audios, I do not. If you send me money, I'll refund it.
So, right. Well, that was then.
Yeah.
But then something happened, and then it was the real reason.
Okay, tell me.
Well, it's because no one was paying attention to me, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to pull the old, if you charge enough for it, then people will pay attention to you. And you're doing exactly what I wanted. Like, you are excited now about getting my audios, where when it was free, you weren't listening to it.
Well, Well, I didn't really know the value of what you'd said in the past either. It wasn't well advertised that, okay, I've been...
And I did a horrible... You're right. I did a horrible job. Me, Mr. Marketing... did a horrible job in 2010, actually in 2008, promoting myself. Horrible. Like, that's why another reason I don't like listening to it. So, I mean, now, way better. And, you know, I'm charging for it again. Although it's just a side benefit, it's a stacked value benefit for the other stuff that I do. But, you know, when people pay for it, they like can't wait to listen to it. When it's free, they don't listen to it. That's as simple as that. It's just human nature.
Yeah, and if nothing else, with learning about Truth, We are becoming experts in psychology and how people work, how people think. Mm-hmm. And for sure, what you just said. Now, I still, mine is free. I'm still on a donor basis. I don't have, I have lots of audio, but I don't know if it's worth charging for the past. I just like to make it easy as well so people can just grab it. But yeah, there is that issue. And I have John LeBon as well, who says the same thing that you do, that, and he's making a living, which is great, I think, off truth and being a skeptic, the world's greatest skeptic, as he calls it. So it can be done. I don't want that to be my living. I guarantee that if this went from a hobby to a living, I probably wouldn't be too happy about it. So I'm just going to leave things as it is for now. But anyway, yeah, so let's get to another question. Okay, so your son...
Wait, so I answered your question about my son, their ages? Is that what you're going to ask?
No, well, I did the math. I figured they're about 14 and 19, because like you were constantly giving their ages back in the day when I was listening. So yeah, so I wanted to know what your... Let's go with your oldest son, because in all your audios you're saying, oh, he's right behind me, he's listening, don't say anything rude because I don't want him to hear anything, any swear words, that kind of thing. So what does he think today? He's 19, he's an adult. I'm guessing he still lives with you.
Yes.
So what does he say today? Because now, of course, he's a fully formed adult. So what does he say about what you've done in the past, and is he grateful for the audio diary you created?
He says he is, but he isn't.
Oh, no.
No, it's okay. But my youngest son is, and, you know, as long as someone gets value out of it, that's cool. Yeah, he's he works at a coffee chain.
Okay.
You probably guess what that is. It's one of the largest ones in the world.
Yeah.
And he is struggling right now. And he'll be, by the way, he had offered to talk to you tonight.
Well, I'm fine. I'd love to talk with him, sure.
Yeah, I thought you would too. And my wife, by the way, you were asking about my wife. My wife said it was $5,000, and I was very upset with her. Well, yeah, because it's like, that's it, $5,000? How about $10,000? You're going to. But, you know, my wife would unload on you about me. Like, if you asked my wife what's Mark really like, she would unload. Like,
oh, that'd be great.
I know.
We'd have to charge for that. We'd have to do a pay-per-view for that.
Yeah, right.
I think we will.
Did you ever hear my audio, me talking about the one time we went to a shrink for shits and giggles?
Not a complete audio. I heard you mentioning marriage counseling a few times, but I never got to an audio where you describe what you did exactly.
Right. So for shits and giggles, I went to a shrink. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes in, I found out that he was a Jesuit.
Right. Okay. I remember you saying that.
10 minutes in, he said that you're crazy to me. Right. My wife raised her fist like a communist and smiled, because that was validation for her that I'm a crazy person. That started an argument right in the office. And by the end of it was an absolute catastrophe. And the guy, because he's like, well, why do you guys not get along? Well, because 9/11 was an inside joke. You know, I started going Alex Jones on the guy. That's how I feel about the world and this and that. And that's when he said 10 minutes in. He goes, I've never said this to a client before, but you're crazy.
What a professional.
And I love that. And I'm like, thank you.
I thought he'd say, get out.
No. In fact, he did worse. What he did at the end, at the 45-minute session, he goes, so you're ready to book another session? I was like, even my wife is like, that guy didn't get it. We're never coming back.
Oh, that's funny. The only sessions that I ever...
Oh, by the way, I just got a message from who we were just talking about.
Oh, I
now.
Heard a ding, yeah. I heard a ding. Yeah.
Yeah. So now he's mad at me and he's calling me the P word. I got the P word.
Does it rhyme with wussy?
Yes, it does. And the F word.
All right. That's enough. That's enough. I want to talk about.
I'll just block him. That's all. See, I just block people.
Yeah.
So
it's too bad.
Like, let me do that right now, because I have a feeling he's going to start interrupting this real quick.
All right. So that's fine.
Let me block that.
The only shrink sessions I ever really watched a lot was from The Sopranos with Tony and Dr. What's-Her-Name. I actually enjoyed them because there's a lot of sexual tension there. But all I can think about is this person, the therapist, or as you said, the rapist. They just want to get you back and just keep charging you. That's all I could think of. You're not getting anywhere, and you make sure you don't get anywhere, so you get another appointment. So that's when I think of a therapist, that's sort of what I think about. They're sort of like a chiropractor. They never fix you because they want to have a maintenance program, as opposed to, say, a physiotherapist, which wants to fix you and get rid of you. That's their success. Anyway.
Oh, right, right. I was just listening to...
My sister's a physio, so I know this.
Who was I just listening to who... Oh, yes, 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 yes. It's going to come to me. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. It is... Oh, yes. Jordan Peterson.
Oh, right, yeah.
Is he a physiotherapist, or who's the one that prescribes drugs?
That's a psychiatrist. They have the ability to... Yeah, they have the ability to subscribe drugs. A psycho... Anyway, I don't know. I've never been to one, but I think...
So yeah, is, is Jordan Peterson a one who can prescribe drugs?
Jordan Peterson, I don't know a lot about. I know he's on
drugs. From Canada. Yeah, of course you have to know.
No, I know, yeah, because he's my neighbor. No, I think... I only hear updates through the mainstream about him. But isn't he just a social commentator, supposed to be a conservative social commentator who he had some physical, some sleeping problems, and he got hooked on some drugs? I know. I just hear updates. I think his daughter went to Russia to find him, that kind of thing. So
exactly. In fact,
a lot of drama.
Yeah, real quick story. So I was in a Starbucks, and some college kid came up to me. We had a 3-hour conversation about life. He goes, you know what? You know who you sound like? I'm like, who? He goes, Jordan Peterson. I'm like, never heard of the guy. So I'm like, I go back to my house and look him up. By the way, at the end of the conversation, he's like, what religion are you? And I'm like, I'm nothing. I'm not religious at all. He goes, oh, I'm sorry that you're going to go to hell. That's how we ended the conversation. It was a great conversation. And then he said, sorry, you're going to go to hell. So I listened to Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson was on the Joe Rogan show with his daughter. His daughter was on first, then Jordan Peterson. It was about going to the carnivore diet, how it changed their lives to the better. And then I found Dr. Sean Baker, who's Mr. Carnivore. And since then, it's on my wall, January 10th, 2019, been on a light version of the carnivore diet, which is really the Atkins diet, steak and eggs diet. And my life has completely changed for the better because of that. Now, I know that – I think you're a vegetarian or a vegan.
No.
Oh, what are you?
I'm an omnivore. I eat a balanced diet the best I can. I do everything as healthy as possible when it comes to some foods. I was juicing for a while, but I stopped juicing myself. My wife took over, which was great. But after COVID started and she couldn't find a lot of the greenery readily available, she stopped juicing me. So I'm down to once a week to have twice a week to have green juice. But no, I'm just an omnivore. One grandfather lived to over 100 and the other lived to 92, and they did not do anything special with their diet. So I just eat as much as I can. Or the only thing I've done in the last 5 years, I try to reduce as much the volume, because I know I'm just my metabolism is slowed down. But no, I don't believe really in any diets. I haven't changed really anything. I mean, I flirted with the idea here and there, but no, I never was a vegan. I was eating some juicing is all I've done, and I've been pretty consistent for the last 7 years or so. But the last few months, it's tapered off a lot. But I know you've talked about the carnivore thing, I think, a little bit recently. I heard you, and wasn't the Atkins diet, didn't that guy get run over by a car in New York City?
Yeah, so they said that he died of his diet, but it's like COVID. It's like if you get run over by a car, you had COVID.
I don't think I never heard them blame it on his diet. I heard literally he just stepped off the curb and got hit.
Oh, no. He stepped off the curb and had a heart attack.
Okay. Was that before or after he got hit by a car?
Probably 20 years before it, I would say.
The only thing I took from that is you can be super careful in life, and then you could just everything you do could add up to zero by a random accident or a random lapse in judgment. So is everything worth stressing over about when you cannot avoid certain unavoidable catastrophes that just happen to unlucky people sometimes?
Well, for example, the odds of dying from, I understand, if you can believe it, the odds of dying from a car wreck is 1 in 105. Mm-hmm. How many times have you driven your van in your old age since you've been born? Thousands of times, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't die. You haven't died. So how is it that it's 1 in 105, but you're still alive? What did you do that the average person who only drives 105 times dies in a crash? Mm-hmm. What are you doing different?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking. It's not rhetorical.
I'm being very careful. I consider myself a professional driver. Try and do everything right. I'm real careful. But the only thing I really worry about is just as I get older, things like paying attention should technically get more difficult. Reactions are slower. Things mm-hmm. you see are slower. Your vision is slowly closing in on you. These are real things, I believe, that happen. So for sure, the risk definitely is going up for me every year just because of age.
I'm going to guess, only because I know you for so long now, you're the kind of person like me, when you go to a parking lot, you back your car in and you park on an end spot to reduce the risk of getting a ding by half.
Well, yeah, I've always backed in for sure.
Yep.
And I don't do much shopping. I do most of my stuff online. My wife does all the shopping, but when I go out with her shopping, I always say park as far away from everyone else as possible. Does it really hurt to walk an extra 20 seconds to the Walmart?
Right. It's not even the walk. It's the fact that you are literally reducing the odds of getting hit by someone else by half.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you have the curb blocking the door from being hit. Mm-hmm. And then you have the other door. Plus, you're so far away, there's probably not going to be anyone next to you.
But have you ever done that? Park really far away. There's no one around you. And you come back and your car's surrounded.
happens all the time. It doesn't happen all the time. I mean, it's almost like a joke. Someone's fucking with me, but
yeah, that happens.
But I can tell you this: my car. I'm gonna get racist now. Can I do that? Can I get racist?
Well,
you're getting nervous.
Just the N word is the one thing that triggers people.
I won't say the N word. I promise.
Then there's nothing. What else is there?
Well, did you ever notice, for some reason, and even my friends who are black admit this, that people who are black, their cars are always dinged up compared to people who are not? I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's they live in the city. I have no idea. You ever notice that?
Well, I'm going to say younger men have more dinged up or pimped up cars, but I can't attribute it to a color here, no. Don't forget, Toronto is – I know you live in Lancaster County. Toronto is so multicultural that I am the minority. There's no doubt at all. I am the minority. So, no, we have every shade, and mostly it's brown. So we don't I don't really notice that. So I'm going to say no to that for now.
Okay. Maybe like the magic numbers, you'll start to notice it.
Yeah, if I look. But, you know, I'd really have to notice that in parking lots, I think. And I don't spend a lot of time in parking lots.
This is driving on the highways that I'm talking about.
Well, as an observation in the last few years, I found, even though it's illegal, almost every pimped out type of car has completely blackened windows. So I cannot, almost every time now, I can't see in. Even though it's completely illegal here, you cannot have your front windows more than 30% tinted, and they're almost all 100% tinted. So I've given up even looking over at what I think is a pretty girl next to, because you cannot see in the cars, which I think is completely unsafe and insane, but that's the way it is. They're not enforcing that. Actually, most laws they're not enforcing in the last 3 months. So it's more dangerous out there.
Yep.
On the roads.
So I've not.
Yeah.
No, you got it.
I live near.
I interrupted.
Skype Canada, delay. North America's busiest highway. And at night, probably around 8 o'clock, I know the highways are already lighter. They're still lighter than they were before COVID. And the and the number of cars that have no muffler now, or straight pipes, or just have super loud mufflers that probably have nothing in them, it is so. It sounds like a racetrack every night. And I know I don't go out at 9 o'clock at night on the highway, but I can imagine these people are just drag racing down the highway all night long now. So it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool.
So I have a
yeah. Go ahead.
I have a question for you, a follow-up question.
Sure.
Is Canada completely off subject?
Yeah.
And again, I'm only reminded because of Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Jordan Peterson, and that leads to my question, he was calling it ironic that he is a psychologist who prescribes these powerful drugs and that taking these drugs was the biggest regret he's ever had in his life. Mm-hmm. He literally was in a coma for 9 days in Serbia to get off this one drug because his wife had cancer. So he was depressed and he went on this drug and couldn't get off it, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, here's my question. Canada. Is Canada officially a socialist country?
We don't use the word socialist. So don't forget, I'm a dual citizen. I'm an American and a Canadian. I'm a naturalized American. And the reason I know this is, number one, I was told in 2012 that I had to file a tax return with the IRS, which is why, and as I told you, why I got into this.
Yep.
Because that's when I just started looking around and IRS and Alex Jones, and it just started a great ball of information. So when I hear socialism, I see it both ways. Socialism to me, sometimes I don't even think I know what it means, but it just means that there's more government giving more back to the people through social services. But whenever I hear that being a big deal in the United States, I think, well, if you think about it, the United States might be the most socialist type country in the world, the way they spend half of all their tax money on the military, which is all government spending, and that is basically what we call corporate welfare or corporate socialism. Now, they'll say it's to defend the country, but when a government spends a ton of their money, tax money, on something socialist like the military is supposedly for everyone, it's for the country. So how can they say they're not socialist? Now, are we just talking about social service programs like welfare, like disability payments? Is that what we're talking about? So that's why I don't really listen too much to who's more socialist than the other.
Yeah, well, according to Alan Watt, socialism is just fast communism, I think he always calls it. But the reason I ask is because I was having a discussion with my wife about about the coming what's coming to America in a very near term.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, there's no – I said she's into like it's a big deal for her to pay her bills, and I totally get that. Trust me. Not paying your bills sucks. Not being able to afford it, and me as an entrepreneur where your business goes up and down, it's horrible. The up and downs of business is absolutely brutal.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But what's more important – with what's been going on in the last 6 months, I know very, very, very rich people like have $100 million in their cash account, who were absolutely miserable during this corona nonsense because they couldn't get their Starbucks. They couldn't fly their private airplane to a resort. They couldn't go to the country club. They couldn't get a haircut. They couldn't do just the basics of life. So they had all this money. They couldn't do anything. So the discussion argument that we had is, what's more important, to have enough money to get through this or to be able to weave through what's going to happen in the future and make better decisions? And that's when your country came up. I said, you know, there's no incentive during this. What was I saying? Something about being a teacher. She's a teacher.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here in the United States, we have a communist way of paying teachers. Mm-hmm. You, if you all have the same amount of education, you're in the same state, and you have the same extra credit degrees that you've gotten, mm-hmm. master's classes and all that, you all get paid the same. There's right. no incentive to be a better teacher.
Yeah, no performance.
I'm talking to Tim tomorrow night, which is now. Yeah. I'll ask him, how is it in Canada? In Canada, do all doctors get paid the same?
Well, teachers, yes, I would say teachers. I don't know for sure. I know vice principals get more, principals get more because they're administrators
as
well.
Just teacher.
I think so. I think teachers, it's total. We have one in Ontario, which is, of course, like a state, Pennsylvania. We have, there's one teacher's union. Sorry, mm-hmm. there's four. There's one for high school. There's one for elementary school. And we have a parallel system, which is completely insane. One for Catholics and one, and so two for Catholics. So we have four teacher unions. It's crazy. We have two parallel systems because the Catholics were funding their own school system in Ontario. And then they said, wait a minute, we have constitutional rights because the Catholics in Quebec helped form this country. So we want tax money. So basically in the 80s, they built all brand new schools because all that tax money they weren't getting, they got. So all the new schools are Catholic schools in Ontario. It's a fantastic system. And they're all built right beside the public schools. Literally. It's insane. But that's mm-hmm. the way it mm-hmm. went. But yeah, mm-hmm. the teachers get paid the same. As mm-hmm. far as I know, I know because we hired teachers as tutors that couldn't get a job because what was happening is once the teachers retired, a lot of them got hired back as contractors on short-term contracts just for whatever reason. I don't know why. So they were actually double-dipping. So not they retired, which means they get one of the best pensions ever. Mm-hmm. And then they're coming back to make more money, double-dipping as I called it, to work mm-hmm. on contract. And sometimes the contracts went on for years. And it was keeping all the mm-hmm. new young teachers out. So mm-hmm. it was killing all the new it's a crazy system. So yeah, I guess that's socialism, but yeah, we have a very super strong teachers union. And by the way, they were working to rule before COVID's. They were withdrawing service, working, taking random days off. It was terrible. This was this year, my youngest daughter's graduating year. So they were wrecking her year already. And then COVID started and then magically, they all settled in the month of April because all of a sudden all the contracts, all the disputes, and one of the biggest disputes, ironically or not ironically, was about telelearning or learning through the internet. And the teachers' unions were violently opposed to it. There's no way, and of course they would, because they saw it as a threat to their in-class experience, and in-class experience means you need a teacher. So all teachers must see the writing on the wall that their days could be numbered everywhere in the world because of the internet. I think we all get that. Mm-hmm. And Cuomo even was saying it quite outright, saying, hey, I'm getting together with Bill Gates and we're going to just redo everything right now. This guy's the greatest mm-hmm. guy in the world. Not only does he want to shoot everyone in the arm with his vaccine, but he has software to revolutionize teaching. And it's time we tried to figure out how we can make teaching better, which I agree with totally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because again, we see how when one union is in control of all the teachers, they can totally mess up millions of children in one year, which they mm-hmm. did. Mm-hmm. This year, of all the people I feel poorly for, it's my youngest who graduated this year. And by the way, they said, we'll email you your diploma. You'll have to print it out yourself. It's disgusting. It's
ridiculous.
It's just the worst year for her. I feel so bad, so badly for her. Because
it's bad for everyone. I mean, you know, my wife is always like, what did I do to deserve what we're going through right now? I've done everything they've asked me to do.
Right. And they're the first ones they come from, the compliant ones, right? I was just listening to that. I don't know who was saying that, what audio I was listening to. But, yeah, it's the ones that are complicit with the so-called communists that are taking over. They're the first ones to go because you don't want anyone that just does what they're told. right? You want someone who's principled to survive the purge, as it were. I thought that was an interesting comment.
Mm.
But, yeah.
So tell me about, so I'm more concerned about the whole system. So like doctors.
Okay.
Doctors all make the same, do they all make the same pay?
No. Well, I don't know exactly how they're paid. They're specialists. I think they can make as much as they want.
I'm talking about let's say that everyone is a general practitioner.
Right.
Do they all make
money? No, I don't think so, because they are independent businesses. They're all they would all be entrepreneur style independent businesses. They can be incorporated. A lot of them will work together to save money on office space and secretarial and nurses and whatnot. I believe they can work as hard as they want and jam as many patients in as they can. And everything. See, you guys have the insurance system where you have a bunch of insurance systems to bill back. And and most people, I don't know if everyone knows this in Canada, but most Americans have insurance. If you work for an employer, you have insurance. If you are retired, you have insurance. If you have no money, you have insurance. It's just the working poor, which might represent 30 or 40 million Americans, that may not be able to afford insurance because they, because of whatever their work, if they're contractors, if they don't want to pay for insurance because it's expensive, so they might just choose not to have insurance, which is okay for a lot of people. Like I've never had dental insurance. That's not covered.
Me neither. Yeah.
But when I go to the dentist, I pay cash and I say, can I have the cash price, please? And some of them say no and some of them say yes. So they might, you know, so that's sort of a normal business transaction in some ways. Because I've done the math and insurance for someone with good teeth is a waste of money.
Yep.
Especially if you look at all the terms of the insurance and how they pay out and don't pay out. So anyway, doctors, I think, can bill as much as they want to a certain point. I don't know if they're capped. I know specialists probably aren't capped. So I know.
And who pays for them?
That's all through taxes. So we have a big insurance, government insurance program called OHIP, Ontario Health Insurance Plan. That's what they call an insurance plan. There's the Ministry of Health. So they are in charge of dispersing all money to everything medical that's covered. Now there's lots of things medical that is not covered. Cosmetics, there's lots that's not, dental is not covered here. A lot of people think it should be. Drugs aren't covered, completely.
Okay. That makes
sense. So you have to buy a drug plan. So if I have a heart attack, I don't have to give them my Visa card when I go to the hospital. Those kinds of things are paid for.
If you have an inner ear infection?
That would just be general practitioner. There's nothing to pay for except maybe drugs. And if you're employed, you'll probably have a drug plan.
And this is where I disagree with Alan Watt. He'll say that it takes like 6-12 months to get an appointment in Canada for an ear infection. Is that true?
I don't know. I've never had one, but I can go.
Or just any type of thing like that.
No. I could go. There's always an ebb and flow of too many GPs and not enough GPs. In the last few years, I've never heard of a shortage of GPs. If you drive around, if a doctor sets up an office in an area, you'll see a big billboard saying accepting new patients. So I think the number of doctors that are, I think they can control the number of teachers and doctors by the number of spots in medical school or teachers college. I think that's sort of how they do it. They don't want to sponsor 50,000 teachers and they only need 10,000, for instance, over a period. I don't know exactly how it works. Something like that. So the simplification is the doctors and their offices do not need to hire one or two people just to deal with insurance companies, because they also regulate and modulate how much care you get in the United States. And it's a huge smorgasbord of insurance companies and what they offer, and they can raise premiums, you know. So it's just like car insurance here. You have to have car insurance because the government forces everyone to have car insurance. Because don't forget, maybe in the 80s, you didn't have to have car insurance. Now you'd be charged. But what happened is if you didn't have car insurance and you wrecked my car, then my insurance company would pay for it. And people thought that's not fair. This guy's running around taking a chance without insurance. He crashes into me. He's got no money. He's got no insurance. I end up paying for it. So the government made it mandatory to buy insurance. Now, in doing that, they, by forcing everyone to buy insurance, all of a sudden they have to start regulating the price. Because if they're forcing you to buy something, then how are they going to prevent insurance companies from just gouging everyone? Because they know you have to pay, you have to buy something. Like if I knew you had to buy bananas every day, I could raise the price of bananas. Why wouldn't I? So that's why the government gets involved in that insurance. So now they regulate the insurance prices. So then it becomes a political thing where, oh, I'll call my government representative because my car insurance is too high. So he'll, not knowing anything about risk and reward and insurance, he might pass a law to say you can't raise insurance this year. It's crazy. So that's what happens when the government gets involved, if you call that socialism. So it's complicated is what I want to say.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's complicated when you just say, oh, we're socialist. Well, not really. I guess we're sort of in the health department, but in a way, aren't we saving money with one insurance company? Well, you could argue because there's no competition, then there's no incentive for one big insurance company to save money. Because they get a budget every year.
So I just don't see where – I don't see the incentive to be this fantastic doctor in your country. Like here – okay, well, let me give you an example. My youngest son needed a root canal. Don't even get me started on that. So we went to this guy – yeah, endodontist.
Big money.
Big money. This guy, call him the machine. All the dentists – it's the dentist.
Okay.
All this guy does is root canals. You can't go get a teeth cleaning. You can't get pulling. Nothing.
No, I know. That's what an endodontist who's smart does. I went to an endodontist. The artwork on this guy's wall would make the art gallery jealous.
Oh, because of the money he makes.
Oh, yeah. This guy had a beautiful office. I think he worked half a week, half a day.
Yep.
He worked half the week for half days.
Yeah, I was trying to – I was running back of the napkin numbers while I was waiting for my son. Now, my son has a very small jaw.
Yeah.
Like, and he was like – he's like, that's the smallest jaw I've ever worked on. But he's mammoth. My son is like a giant at age 14.
Okay.
And so it took him 43 minutes to do a complete root canal.
Yeah.
Normally, it takes 23 minutes or something like that. So I'm like, okay, let's go 30 minutes. You know, he talks for 2 minutes. He sees – 2 people an hour, $1,313 and, you know, per root canal.
Yeah.
This guy's making $4 million a year.
Sure.
So can the same happen in Canada?
Yeah, because our dentists are private. They're not, there's no public dental insurance here.
But what about a doctor?
Well, I think a specialist can still make good money. I don't know exactly how they do it. There are private medical clinics here if you want shoulder surgery. There are a lot of private public partnerships. I don't exactly know. An eye surgeon, I had my eyes done 25 years ago. He was private. He did eye surgery on the side. Plus, he worked in the hospital. He did both.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, can a heart surgeon make more money in the United States? I'm sure he could. But different doctors do medicine for different reasons. Now,
so being on both sides of the border, all things being equal, you have 1 minute to decide on a brain surgeon. Are you going to get a Canadian brain surgeon or a U.S. brain surgeon?
Well, probably get a Canadian one because I wouldn't want to travel to the U.S. for the follow-up. I would just be close to home. Toronto probably has just some very, very top surgeons. Now, probably I would say there's enough doctors here that aren't obsessed with the money that still work here. Now, they still probably make millions of dollars even here, guaranteed, because our government knows, our insurance company knows, they're competing with the world in terms of doctors. So they want, they don't want second-rate doctors here. And so I would say that, for instance, our children's hospital, where my youngest daughter was spent her first spent a couple weeks when she was 6 weeks old.
In the States?
Here.
Okay.
And the top surgeon who worked on her, who basically saved her life, he, I believe he was Canadian, but he went to work in St. Louis, which also has one of the top children's hospitals. But he, well, I can't remember what it's called. But
yeah,
he,
Children's Hospital of some of Philadelphia, I think that is.
Okay, well, no, there's one. He worked in St. Louis. That's another top one. There's lots of top ones in America. But he worked there for a bunch of years, but he decided to come back to Canada because he just thought it was a more equitable place for to practice because everyone has access to the to healthcare here. Everyone, despite what they make. So it's more egalitarian. But rich people will still they can still leave the country and go to the U.S. and get treatment. I could drive to Buffalo tomorrow if I didn't want to wait for an MRI, and I don't know what the waiting list is for MRIs here. If I didn't want to wait, I could go to Buffalo and do it easily. If I had money, of course I'd do. Why wouldn't I?
So let's talk about the wait. Is the wait something like a day, a week, a month?
I'm sure it depends on the procedure. If you had a heart attack, you wouldn't wait. If you were shot in the head, you wouldn't have to wait. It's just if I would just say that there's probably some areas of the city that have bigger waits because they have different types of populations that go when they have a sniffle, and they'll wait. You'll wait. But as far as big procedures, it's just I haven't heard it as an issue in the last few years. There's been years where you hear about, oh, there's a big waiting list for this, waiting list for that. But I haven't heard about it at all. My father had heart surgery 10 years ago. He had a valve job. And according to him, his surgeon, Dr. David, is one of the top in the world. And he works in Toronto. Now, the heart department at Toronto General gets lots of private money by lots of rich people here. So they'll build the entire wing and get their name on it. And I've even heard some of the family that gave money to that particular wing that are in charge of the foundation that raises money every year. They'll even visit the odd heart patient. I had a friend who had a total ream job of his heart. And he said one day the benefactor of the wing just came up to him and said, how was the surgery? He was stunned. She was involved. Her dad's name was on the wing. I think his name is Peter Monk, who was a big gold mining executive here. We have a lot of mining in Canada, and he paid for the whole wing. So there's lots of private money as well. So it's not, you know, again, it's not black and white. It's complicated.
So if I wanted the doctor that if I wanted the dentist that always fixes Wayne Gretzky's teeth when he's playing in his prime, can I choose that dentist?
Of course. Well, yeah, that's private. Of course. You can go to any dentist.
I'm sorry. You keep saying the dentist is private. Let's say you went to Wayne Gretzky's doctor. Can you go to Wayne Gretzky's doctor?
Wherever he is, maybe, I guess. I think most people are pretty local when it comes to healthcare. For instance, when my youngest was really sick when she was born, I just went to the local hospital. That was a big mistake. I wasted 8 hours. I should have just driven right to the top hospital downtown and saved myself the trouble. So, yeah, you could go anywhere you wanted. I just didn't think of it at the time. But most people say, oh, I got a hangnail. I'm just going to go down the road to whatever hospital is nearby. But, yeah, if things got out of hand and you really need a super specialist, well, unfortunately, unless you live in Toronto, you're going to have to travel because obviously there's no specialist in Sudbury where Alan Watt lives because there's only 50,000 people there. Why would there be a specialist there?
Right.
He'd go broke. So that's you guys are pretty socialist when it comes to your medicine. You know,
totally.
My grandfather was in Michigan, and the state of Michigan took great care of him because he was a senior. He got great
same
care.
With VA hospitals, you know, for
yeah,
military.
There's lots of socialism down there. It's just it's just a dirty word that's been politicized, but it doesn't mean a lot. Again, the United States spends, last time I looked, and might be different, half of all taxes on the military. Now, that's corporate socialism, if you ask me, because they probably build lots of planes that don't need to be built or replace lots of munitions just because the military was practicing blowing up torpedoes or what God knows what at $100,000 a pop. And who paid for it? Well, the military is the government. So you paid for it.
Well, I didn't pay for it because I don't pay taxes. But everyone else did.
Well, you probably pay sales tax. Pennsylvania probably has sales tax. I know that's
not if you tax. Not if you go down the street to Delaware. Delaware's tax free.
We're way more conditioned to paying taxes up here. We have value added tax at 13%. We pay income tax. Taxes up the yin yang, but it's a different system.
Speaking of tax, do you, like the income tax, the IRS tax, most people do not know this. But let's even go before that. The War of 1812, Spanish-American War, whenever 1800 it was,
we
are still paying that tax. It was supposed to be a temporary tax to fund the war. And it is on your mobile phone bill known as the universal something-something-other tax.
Okay.
On your And the same with the IRS. The IRS was supposed to fund the war. It was supposed to be a 1% tax, and it was supposed to be temporary.
You know, I don't even want to talk about taxes because the amount of money we owe now, just in the last 3 months of spending.
Who's we?
We here in Canada, and you guys too. The money that has been spent basically can't be paid back. And we all know that the day of reckoning is when you can't pay the interest on the debt. Forget the principal or any part of it. When you can't pay, when you can't make enough payments, and it's mostly interest when you owe 1 plus 12 zeros like we do here, then the creditor, whoever loaned you the money, is going to say, well, you're going to have to pay with the security. Everyone who knows about loans knows you have to put up something that is worth something that you have to forfeit if you can't pay. That's why I think Lake Coca-Cola will be coming soon, or whoever owns, someone will own Lake Ontario one day, because we can't pay, we won't be able to pay. So that is the dirty secret at the end of this debt tunnel. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't think it's ever been done, but I think it will happen.
Is this my perfect cue to chime in and say that debt is a psyop?
Yeah, maybe. If it is, tell me about it.
Oh, it's 100% a psyop. You've been told all your life, I've been told all of my life, that trying to figure out how money works is very complicated.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not complicated.
Well, the financial markets, and where does the money go, and the treasury bills, and the bonds, and all that stuff.
But the money system is incredibly simple. My 14-year-old gets it. I'll explain.
Okay.
You have a religion called money.
Yeah, we all believe in it.
We print fancy symbols and put it on linen paper so it looks all official. And then there's a tipping point where most people agree that it's worth something that they have, a resource. Yeah. That's the money system.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, and then repeat. Repeat how valuable money is. You show that athletes make $60 million. Look how valuable money is. You just keep repeating and keep, it's psychic driving, you keep repeating it, right? It's as simple as that. This whole idea that we're trillions in debt and all that kind of stuff is monkey business. It's nonsense. It's not true.
Well, the problem is, and this is more a problem for rich people that don't like to work, when everyone stops believing in money, then what's going to happen? I don't think anyone
new
knows.
System.
Yeah, but nobody knows what is the interim going to be. What will there be chaos? If I can't buy lettuce, with my mm-hmm. money because I don't mm-hmm. believe in it or the store that sells it. What are we going to do? Do I have to go clean the toilet to get the head of lettuce or what?
The whole barter thing is just nonsense. Everyone mm-hmm. likes talking about barter as an alternative system. Mm-hmm. You know, if all I have is a – it's totally impractical. Mm-hmm. If I have a field full of tomatoes and I want to buy a brand new XC40 Volvo for $66,000,
yeah,
that person who made that Volvo doesn't want my field full of tomatoes.
No.
So now what are you going to do?
Well, if we didn't have the money system, we'd have to invent it again. I think that's what you're saying. That's the most convenient way of transacting.
And that's what's going to happen with COVID is they're going to – Alan Watt has been talking about this for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
He says we are going to be on use it and lose it weekly credits. Mm-hmm. If you're politically incorrect, you will not even get to spend the credits that you get. The only way to spend it is if you're totally politically correct.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah,
and that's communism. There's no incentive. Everyone's going to get the same. Right now, they're talking, and this is a big, huge deal. I just did a podcast earlier for my members. I'm going to repeat what I just said 2 hours ago. July 27th, I think, through the 31st is probably one of the most important weeks in the history of the United States.
Oh, boy.
Do you know why?
No, it's the end of July.
Right. What happens financially at the end of July for a lot of workers in the United States?
Is it the end of a tax year?
Nope.
I don't know.
So on July 15th, taxes are due in the United States. It's been extended from April to now.
Okay, right. I read that. I just got an email for the FBAR thingy that I'm supposed to file. I've already done that, by the way. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. I don't know what I did.
No, thank you to anyone listening who wants to know if I'm up to date.
I see.
I am.
So the 15th, trillions of dollars are going to come into the treasury, and then that's all bullshit, but that's what they say.
Okay.
On July 31st, unemployment ends for 30-something million people.
Okay.
The extension, you know, the extra, the 600 plus 300, that ends on Friday the 31st. The House of Representatives – now, I'm not a political person. I haven't voted, I don't think, all my life. I might have voted for Ross Perot, but I thought he dropped out, so I didn't vote. Haven't voted. I care less about all this stuff. But apparently the House of Representatives have passed a second stimulus bill, and it needs to be approved by the Congress or the Senate, one of them. And they are on vacation right now, and they're coming back like the third week of July, and then they're all going on – summer recess pretty much the entire month of August. Now, so you got the expiration of unemployment on the 31st. You have people have been promised this stimulus. Everyone else has been promised a stimulus for 2 months now. It's been passed, but no one has – the other house hasn't passed it. Here's my prediction. It will be absolute hell on earth if on August 1st nothing gets passed.
So what's going to happen?
And I think the new system will emerge soon after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really following exactly the stimulus, although I did get a check from Donald Trump. I took a picture of it. I'm excited. That was my
– I
did.
You did.
How
much for $1,200?
$1,200.
Mm-hmm. What about your wife?
No, she's not an American, but that was my reward for paying my taxes. Or filing.
Wait a minute,
anyway.
You still pay American taxes?
That was my original entry into this whole 9/11 arena.
But that was forever ago. You're saying because of forever ago, you still get credit today?
No, because all Americans, no matter where they live in the world, have to file with the IRS. That was the whole big shtink.
So you're saying that you still file or
I
wink
file
wink,
every
still...
year. I pay a guy in Buffalo $700 every year to basically say everything I file, everything I pay in Canada is 100% credited in the United States.
Wait. This is interesting.
Yes.
So hold on. Is this a tax strategy?
No, this is required by the IRS. I know. It's a private corporation and all that. That doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter.
In 2012, They said, the IRS stated, because I guess enough Americans were offshoring their money. They were just doing anything to avoid taxes, which is totally illegal if it's done legally. Basically, the only way they could stop this whole flight of money out of the country or diversion, and of course corporations still do it, but doesn't matter where you live, if you're an American citizen, you must file with the IRS. You also must file an FBAR, which you must tell them all your holdings of all accounts in your name. Doesn't matter they are.
I've never heard this term. FBAR, is that American or Canadian?
No, that's a U.S. IRS form. It's the federal. Okay, I have to look it up. I know it's an FBAR. It is the individuals filing. It's a foreign bank and financial accounts, FBAR. Americans love acronyms. See?
Yes,
you don't even know what it stands for after a while because you just keep saying it. Yeah, so any money in a foreign bank has to be reported to the IRS. They just don't
I am totally confused.
Yes.
You left the United States in what year,
I'm a naturalized American. My mother was born in the United States. And a long time ago, she thought it'd be a great idea to make sure I got my citizenship. So you have to apply, and I applied a long time ago. That way I can just travel freely and work anywhere I want in North America.
That's so you weren't born in, born in the United
States? No, I was born in Toronto. But if
you're your mom was living in the United States?
She was born in Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then the last time you filed, did you ever live in the United States?
No.
No.
I have filed every year since 2012.
Including last year?
Including this year. I filed this year. I filed on time. I wasn't late. And
so you in U.S. dollars?
Sorry, you broke off.
You get paid in U.S. dollars?
I got a check from Donald Trump. It's in U.S. dollars.
No. I'm sorry. Your wage for doing what you
do. No, doesn't matter. I pay Canadian taxes. And Canada and the United States have a tax treaty. Anything that I pay here, it's totally 100% accepted by the IRS. There's a few. I'm not a complicated tax citizen. My taxes are pretty straight up. But if I was renting property in the United States, that is treated differently there than it is here. So I may have ended up paying tax to the IRS, but not tax here. It depends on what the tax laws are. That's why I have to hire someone to figure it out, because I'm not going to go through it. I hire an accountant to do it.
A CPA.
He charges lots of money, even though he basically just takes all the Canadian numbers and puts them into the IRS form.
Right.
He doesn't really do any work. The guy up here does more work and basically just sends the copy down, and he just translates it into IRS language. And usually I get away with 100% and I'm good. But I still have to file. That's the whole thing.
When you mean 100%, that means you have enough deductions so that you pretty much break even each year.
Well, no, it just means that whatever my tax I pay here, it offsets anything I might owe there. They don't make you pay tax on the same income in two different countries. So if I pay tax on $20,000, and say I pay $20,000 tax here, it should be 100% acceptable to the IRS. So they see I paid here, they're fine, and there's no tax owed to them. So usually I don't owe anything because I've already paid here. You can't pay tax on the same money to two different countries. That's how it works.
So I'm still not following, but I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah, okay, good.
So the advantage of you being a naturalized U.S. citizen is what again?
Well, I can work in the U.S. I can travel freely. They can't deny me entry to the U.S. because I'm an American.
But now, because of that privilege, you have to pay $700 a year.
Yeah. Well, I could file it on my own if I could.
And you've never, since 2012, made a single penny in the United States.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm just trying to figure out what the benefit is here.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe if the New World Order has every country by the balls, I'll be living in Mackinac City, Michigan, with my AR-15 and my log cabin as the last holdout of freedom. Maybe that'll be the angle. I don't know.
Now that segues perfectly into my next question. You see, this is a great conversation. This is where we go back and forth.
All right.
Do you know what the Jesuit capital of Canada is? What city?
No.
Sault Ste. Marie.
All right, because the Jesuits are up there, yeah, with the Indians and all that. Okay. Well, I've been to Sault Ste. Marie. Did you know that there's a Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan?
Yes, I did. It's across the way.
And a Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. It's almost like twin cities.
Yes.
Yeah, it's cool. Actually, that was one of the trips I was going to take this year. I wanted to go drive over the Mackinac Bridge again. I did it when I was 18 years old and scared the hell out of me. That is the bridge that connects Michigan with the Upper Peninsula. It is one of the scariest, highest bridges it's a metal grid, so you can look down at the water.
I get nauseous. It's totally
freaky. And yeah. Actually, there's a pretty good, I think, a PSYOP in and around the Mackinac Bridge. Have you ever heard of that one?
Yes.
With the Yugo?
You mean the PSYOP? No, I haven't heard that, no.
No, there was a story about a Yugo that blew off the bridge. You remember the Yugo little car?
Sure.
It was $3,999. You could put it on your credit card.
Yep. Yeah.
I think there was a fake story in and around a Yugo blowing off the bridge. Because they actually have a service where if you don't feel comfortable driving over, they will drive your car over for you.
Wow, how much is that?
I don't know.
Is it like $10?
I don't know what it is, but it gets windy up there. And actually, if you want to watch a good documentary, go watch the video of how they built the bridge. That's even more stunning.
All right, I'm adding this to my notes.
That is an engineer.
What's the name of the bridge again?
It's called the Mackinac Bridge. It is definitely an engineering marvel. Any bridge is pretty amazing that you can build a bridge. But yeah, that was because the season is so short for construction because it's so cold so early up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's real tricky. But
The reason I brought up the Sault Ste. Marie,
yeah.
Which I've been told I'm saying it wrong. Am I saying it wrong?
No, Sault Ste. Marie.
Okay.
It's not Sault Ste. Marie. It's Sault Ste. Marie.
There's an old 9/11 forum guy named Pump It Out.
Yeah, Jeff. I heard you talking to Jeff.
And he would always give me crap that I said it wrong. It's Sault Ste. Marie, I think.
Yeah, Sault Ste. Marie. You might have said Sault Ste. Marie. That's how it's spelled.
Right. So here's the question. Now that you've been posting all these Jesuit audios that I've done in the past.
Yeah, I haven't found actual Jesuit audio. You said you don't have it. So really, you haven't really said anything really that exciting in any of these audios except your discovery of so many leading people in the world, including, by the way, Fidel Castro. I just posted.
Yeah, I saw that on your site. That's great.
Isn't that interesting? I guess we sort of wouldn't have known that, but him actually saying it, that I'm a Jesuit, I'm not a communist.
Well, great. I didn't, in your video, it wasn't him. I didn't watch the whole thing. In the beginning, it says that Castro wasn't a communist. He was a Catholic. And then he talked about being Jesuit trained.
Well, I thought what the guy was saying was he heard Castro say wherever he was around Castro, he said, someone asked Castro if he was a communist. He says, no, I'm a Roman Catholic Jesuit trained. I'm not a communist.
So he
says, I'm a Roman Catholic. Okay. Well, because communism and religion don't go together. Most people, they don't allow religion. That's the whole point. Your religion is the state. You worship the state. That's why most people are not for it, because you can't practice religion, because that would compete with the state, wouldn't it?
I'm distracted because I'm looking at the Mackinac Bridge. Is this the same? It looks like the San Francisco Bridge.
Yeah, it's a suspension bridge. Yeah,
that's scary to people. That's nothing around here. Well, we got the all.
No, when you drive over it, it's got a grid deck. So you're basically looking through holes at the water.
Yeah.
Whatever day I drove over it, I remember I was 18 years old, driving across the country, and I went through that away. And maybe the clouds were low, but you're literally in the clouds half the time looking way, way down. It's a long way.
We probably have 5 bridges 90 minutes near us that are taller and bigger and longer than this bridge.
Okay.
So maybe we're just used to it.
Well, I've been on, yeah, it's just at the time. I bet you it's still, does it rank the bridge in the Wikipedia there?
I'm at MackinawBridge.org. Mm-hmm. I'll post that in the notes. But it's called the Key Bridge in Annapolis, Maryland.
How long is it?
It's got to be 5 miles long.
Okay. So is this one. It says the 24th longest bridge in the world. Because I'm sure half the bridges in China, some of the stuff they're building there is just
crazy.
Off the charts. So I'm sure they probably lapped them, but it's still massive. Okay. It's 5 miles. That's a long time to be up in the air. Yeah.
But we're so excited to go to the beach and stuff that we're like, woo, it's time to go to the beach.
Well, when I was driving on, I guess, the 7 mile bridge in the Keys, Florida Keys.
Yep.
And you're so close to the water and you just think one wrong move and you're in the drink. That can get a little aggravating. It just goes on and on and on, and there's just nothing but water on either side. So that one started to bother me after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it seemed really high.
And I want to get back to the Jesuits. It's 10.9 miles, the bridge I'm talking about, 10.9 miles.
Which one?
In Annapolis? It's in Annapolis.
Okay, that's a big one.
Called Key Bridge.
How tall is it, though?
It is. This one. Let's take a look.
What does this one say? It doesn't even say. Let's see. Maintained width, height. This one is 552 feet. That's the tower. So it's 200 feet off the water. Okay, that doesn't seem like that much. 200 feet off the water.
Let's see. How tall is Key Bridge, Annapolis? It is...
Francis Scott Key? Yeah.
Yes. Total length, I'm not saying how high it is. How high is the bridge? Let's see. I got it. TripAdvisor. It is high enough to accommodate ocean-going vessels. Mm-hmm. It is 58 feet.
I must be looking at the wrong bridge. The Key Bridge in Washington, D.C.?
No, it's in Annapolis, Maryland, which is near D.C.
Yeah, how many key bridges are there?
Francis Scott Key Bridge?
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
Someone just said 175 feet, but it's hard to find.
It's 185 feet. Okay, well, it's a little lower to the ground. Okay, that's a big one, too. Yeah, that's big.
So I'm going to get back to the Jesuits, what you think about the Jesuits. So,
okay.
Knowing... You've been at this since 2012, right?
Yeah.
Now, knowing what you know after listening to me, Freemasons, Jews, the whole kit and caboodle. Mm-hmm. Who runs the show? What group?
I would still. This is what our old friend Robin Fisher.
Yeah.
Who sort of like, I guess he got aggravated by you, or you were aggravated by him. I don't remember. He's long gone, but. He definitely was convinced it was S-Mom and the Jesuits. And I don't think there's still any question that there has to be some group, some institutions that are running the show. There has to be. So, yeah, I would say that's obvious that the Jesuit institutions are the ones that train world leaders to run the place.
So it's not the Jews?
No,
that was a rhetorical question.
No, I don't. I think they could go to Jesuit colleges, but it's like anything else. If you want to go to the best doctor, or you have to go where the best doctors are trained, wherever that is. So I would definitely say the world leaders they definitely seem to have some allegiance with Jesuits. You know, the Jesuits have been training people for hundreds or thousands of years, so they're pretty good at it probably by now. Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah,
just,
I mean, for
yeah,
for like a decade now, I've been made fun of, smeared, hated because I say, you know, it's not – I look at it this way. It's like the chessboard. I don't play chess. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about chess. The chessboard emulates life to me quite perfectly.
Yeah.
There are two rows in a chessboard, right? All the pawns are in one row and then all the important people are in the back. Is that how it works? Because like checkers, there's three rows, right?
No, it starts with two and then you get king and queen and all that, or crowned.
In checkers, there
is there three there, rows? Okay. Maybe there's
I think there's three
rows. Okay.
I think.
Okay.
So I always get confused about – so when you're looking at the front row, it's all the pawns, right?
Yeah.
And that's is like all the Jews. That's who like run the immediate show. But what behind that row is the real power. And one thing I learned from James Altucher, who has a great podcast, is that he's a chess master.
Okay.
Do you know who the most powerful person is on the chessboard?
It's usually the queen.
That's right.
She can do anything. The king is useless.
That's right.
The king exactly. is just above a pawn.
That's right.
Yeah. I know that.
In fact, feminists should really start to use that metaphor
That's
more.
Right.
To
feminists should play chess.
That's right.
Do.
So that's two things I made fun of tonight: black people with dinged up cars and feminists. By the way, just to keep it clear, I'm a professional comedian. I actually do get paid to do comedy.
Really?
I'm telling jokes. Yes. Wow.
Okay. Well, the comedy clubs are closed, so you're gonna be out of luck.
I have my own comedy club. It's online.
All right.
It's behind. It's behind a paywall.
Of course. All right. Let's get back to my list. Yeah. So yeah. Listen. You got to find the Jesuit audio, and we got to get Simon Little. What's his name? Little Simon, or well, he was a teenager when you talked to him.
What if I told you that I think Simon is Robin?
I don't know. I don't think so because I've heard both voices. It's.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're both super into that. Isn't that a...
Isn't Robin from Canada?
Yes, he was from the London... He told me he's from the London area. And I'm not sure... I don't even know how old Robin was. I probably talked to him in, what, 2012, 2013? He sounded he was in his 20s then.
Right. When I spoke to Simon, he was 14.
Yes. I don't think so.
Simon... out of the blue started hating on me right around the time when this Robin came on the scene and started hating on me. There's a lot of coincidences there going on.
But I think Robin was, he said he used his real name. He had nothing to fear. He was just totally aggravated by life. He knew more about S Mom and he was sending the symbols. He was doing full mod. Yeah. They definitely sounded like they're on the same track. And how many people in Canada that are young could care less about S-Mom or the Jesuits?
I think I'm swaying you towards them being the same.
I don't think they are. I really don't. Because and every time Simon was on your audios, he was almost impossible to hear. He's so quiet, and the audio was so bad. I was literally turning my stereo up to full, and then he'd talk, and then you'd come on and blow up my speakers, so I'm riding the volume button. It was very frustrating listening to Simon, but actually you sent me a link to one of the Tapa Talk forums where it looks like he came back and asked Jeff to take his name off there. So I doubt they're the same person, but it is very strange that two young Canadians. Have such a passion for something. Yeah. It's got to be one of the most obscure organizations to the average person.
By the way, you're talking sort of in riddles because you keep saying SMOM. SMOM stands for Sovereign Military Order of Malta.
Yeah. Well, that's how it's – the acronym is SMOM. And I remember Robin was always saying SMOM. And again, most people have no idea what we're talking – I barely know what we're talking about sometimes because you just don't hear it. There's one other YouTuber called – I think his name is Jamie and he's A Plain Truth. He's the only YouTuber that I ever see referencing the Jesuits, period. And he's on his 500th YouTube channel. And every now and then he puts out a zinger. and I will grab that video and put it on FakoTube.
Mm-hmm. He has 500 YouTube channels, or do you mean he has 500 videos on a channel?
No, he's had his channel is one of those ones that gets taken down every week.
So I'm telling you, you can't talk about Jesuits. There are three things you can't talk about. Can't talk about the Jesuits. Can't talk about free energy. Can't talk about weather creation. Mm-hmm. And what they'll do is a month later, all your stuff will go away, even behind a paywall. It's just suicide if you do that.
But are you saying that your Jesuit audio, somebody came in your machine and blew it away?
Not on my machine, but on my web server.
Okay.
And it was behind a paywall.
But of course you have a copy of it somewhere.
No, in 2008, yeah. I was dead poor. Then I had a lot of money coming in 2010.
You didn't have a floppy drive? A floppy disk was 5 cents.
You're really dating yourself there, because 2008 was not floppy disk time, I don't think.
You could have probably still had one and used it. You could have. They're probably
back then it was CDs, CD-ROMs. In fact, I'm looking at my stack of CD-ROMs because I eventually did get a stack of CD-ROMs, but no.
Did you know I bought a hard drive from Las Vegas area
okay.
in 1980-something. It was 5 mm-hmm. megabytes. Mm-hmm. I had to go to the border to pick it up because I had family, as you know, in Michigan. So I went there to have it shipped there, and I drove it over the border. Also bought mm-hmm. my tires over in Michigan, too, because they were always cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
That thing was the size of, let's see.
Oh, I can imagine.
A small coffee table. Imagine a small coffee table in a box.
Yeah.
It was an apple cider drive. That's what they called it. You know, everything was themed towards Apple. 5 megabytes.
Uh-huh.
And it used to make squeaking noises with the head going over the disc. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was the most amazing thing at the time. It was, instead of, I guess it was 500 disk drives, it was all on one. Because I had 2 floppy drives, I think. Disk 1 and disk 2. I just remember that. Anyway.
I had an Apple IIe, which had floppy drives. It was great.
Yeah. I had an Apple II Plus. That's the last
one. Oh, I think I might have had a 2 Plus. I think you're right. It was a 2 Plus.
Mm-hmm. And after that.
Yeah, I've been in the Apple ecosystem since day one. One of the very first ones to get the computer.
Well, I was the first one. I still have it. It's in my basement. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's worth anything, and I doubt it comes on. But that was the first Apple I ever bought and the last Apple I ever bought. So I just didn't want to pay extra for the name. And I know it was more convenient, but I just bought an XT or an IBM clone ever since. And here I am.
Mm-hmm.
But can we get – so that's where I stand on Jesuits.
Okay.
It would be nice if you could find your audio. If you can, that's great. Whatever you said in the audio.
Well, let me be clear about that so everyone else hears. On my – see, I never took the time to index mm-hmm. all my talks.
Right.
My goal was to have so many members that someone would want to volunteer. And I don't like doing volunteer things. I like paying for things. And I've never, since 2010, since that crash and burn, I've never had the money to pay to have it indexed. But I plan to have that happen. And when it happens, then I'll be able to find it. Right now, I have to.
Oh, you mean it's in the pile somewhere? You just don't know which one?
I have no idea.
No, but is it because all your audios are just are named by date?
So that's all I have. I can't even do a search on that because it's on behind my paywall. It's in an individual page by date.
Okay, so you're saying as I'm going along through the vault, I could find it.
Yeah, if you're a member of Exclave, you can go through there and go date by date and find it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But was it – what year was it? Do you know that?
No idea. Tell me what the audio is again.
Well, no, I'm in 2010. I start – your first audio was 2008.
And which audio, which specifically, what was the topic again?
The Jesuit audio.
I have no idea.
No, but you said there is a you were referring, in all your audios, you say, Simon and I did a Jesuit audio. That's what you said.
Oh, I see. Well, see, here's the thing. Let me take a quick look.
Yeah, you said that, you say it Every time you say, oh, you got to listen to the audio Simon and I did on the Jesuits. It's the best. When you say then you just make everyone want to go find it. That's why.
Honestly, that's not the reason I'd say that. I can be more clever than that. I wouldn't say it for that reason. Let me see. See, I have like a deep archives that's all on zip drives. And it might be in that, which has not even a date.
Okay. So getting back, are you saying all the vault is on your My Exclave website? Yes.
When you join my private community, mm-hmm. I'm looking at it right now. It goes, the last audio I have is 9/26/2008. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't even have the 9/11 one on there for some reason.
Okay.
So 9/26, 9/30, 10/6, 10/9, 10/18, 10/22, 10/24, 10, it could be any of those.
Well, I've listened to all of them so maybe you were talking about the Jesuits in one of them and I just didn't know it was the special. Maybe that was it. Maybe you didn't call it that when you did it.
Quite frankly, it doesn't matter because like it's kind of like Todd's question to me is like Heroes.
Yeah.
His question to me is, and he's asked everyone, who runs the show? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll tell you who runs the show. Medicini family. There's 12 families that run the show. What are you going to do now with that information?
Right.
Like, who cares? Like, what are you going to do? Take them out? Hey, if you're going to take them out, I'll join you, but are you really going to do that? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do now that we're in the situation that we're in right now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the sort of thing I love to talk about.
Yeah, solutions.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, people want to know. People want to know who's
like he's obsessed about it. Like he like pissed off John LeBon. Like John LeBon's like, listen, mate, you've asked me about. Listen, mate, you've asked me about that a couple of times. And like I don't want to talk about it. And Todd doesn't take the hint. And I told Todd, I'm like, I'll talk about it, but if I talk about it, you're going to have your stuff deleted. So why talk about it? Even if it's behind a paywall. That's how the world works.
Well, I'd like to see if Todd's built a pretty – Todd said he – I haven't talked to Todd in a week or two, but he said he was building a studio.
He's on vacation.
How could you be on vacation if you live in Florida? I never got
it. Do you know who Todd is?
Well, no, he's told me he's a marketing – or he runs some big company.
Yeah, he's downplaying. He's downplaying himself. He's a very big deal in the business world.
Did you know him before – he came through a fakeologist?
No.
No, okay.
He contacted me. He wants to interview Tip of the Spear people.
Yeah.
He said that you recommended me. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then I found out who really is. And I'm like, hey, let's skip the interview stuff. I'd like you to be like a board member at Exclave.
Wow.
Like this guy.
And he probably would do it.
I don't want to. What's that?
He probably would do it too. He's really on board with it. He's really upset about this whole thing.
Yeah. So we've been talking. We have meetings every Sunday about Exclave with my advisors, and he's been on a couple of them. He's been on vacation for 2 weeks now, and he's coming back next week.
Okay.
But he works for a huge. Again, I'll let him tell. I don't know if I have permission to say who he works for.
No, you don't have to.
He works for a very, very huge, influential person. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, he's mentioned the guy's name. I can't exactly remember what it was. It's not important. But, yeah, he does very well.
Let's just say this. The guy who he works directly for,
mm-hmm.
they both share the same executive assistant, so they're very tight.
Yeah.
And the guy's summer house is featured on the show Billions.
Wow.
There's a little hint.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like this crazy house in the Hamptons.
Nice. And he's not Howard Stern.
Yeah. It's not Howard Stern. No.
Wow. No. That's interesting. Well, he's a great guy. I like Heroes and mm-hmm. A nice person. And he helped with FakoTube. I didn't ask him to help. He did the logos. Yep. I'm not big on graphics. I just wanted something sometimes I get a little too carried away with the sizzle and I forget the steak. So I didn't dwell upon it. He wanted to do it, so I did use one of his graphics, but he certainly, it was very nice of him to do. Appreciate it, but.
He certainly spreads the money joy around, that's for sure.
Yeah. I'd rather he paid for a month of the server as opposed to the logo, but that's fine. Server is a little more money, but that's fine. That's okay. I'm not soliciting money on exactly from him. But
well, didn't Rollo send you a big wad of cash?
I was still waiting.
Wasn't that 300 bucks or something?
He said 200, and one of them is Canadian, the other is Australian. So one of them I'm supposed to put on the wall, and the other one I can put in the bank. So it's,
do you think if you put it in the bank, it might be worth half because it's loaded with alcohol somehow?
Yeah, it'll just evaporate when it probably won't even make the plane ride or boat or whatever.
It'll show up. It'll be empty. The bastard never put the money in to begin with. Here you go.
Well, Rollo. If you go to fakeologist.com/donate, I put exactly what you should put on the envelope. And do you think he put fakeologist on it? No, he didn't.
No.
So I already called the postal guy because he says he'll throw away any mail that doesn't have whatever I wrote down on the form. So he put everything that I didn't write down. So I have to get a hold of the guy and say,
I think Rollo's jacking with you.
No,
frankly.
I think he's good. It's not the best way to send things through the mail, and I just hope that there's only honest people between Australia and Canada, including.
Why are you limiting yourself when there's so many other options still, which are going to go away, but not too fast? Yeah. Why would you limit yourself with just cash?
Well, what else should I do? But that's what someone said. No, I have PayPal. PayPal's there.
Oh.
He didn't want to use PayPal.
What about Stripe?
I didn't set that up. I have Stripe. I got one of those credit card readers because I just thought it was neat. Whenever I do something for a friend, he pays me by credit card. I plug that Stripe thing into the top of my phone. It's actually pretty neat. But
not talking about Stripe. You're talking about PayPal's version of that, right? Where you plug it into your phone.
Well, no, I thought it was called Stripe. It's a little card swiper.
It's advertised.
Okay. I got that years ago, but I don't use it. But I'm on PayPal. Just people say they don't want to use the electronic systems. They just want to mail the money. That's why I set it up. So I paid $200.
What about an international postal money order like what Alan Watt always begs for?
Yeah, I didn't really think about that, but then I don't have any business account set up, so
you don't need.
No.
No. Go to the post office, get cash.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good idea too. That's such an old form of sending money. I've never used it before, so I just didn't think about it. But yeah, that's a good idea. International money order.
International. I would just go to all the people who get donations in the truth business.
Yeah,
and see how they do it.
I think almost everyone's on PayPal, aren't they?
PayPal's terrible.
Well, they take a healthy cut.
And plus, they'll cut you off for no reason.
Well, I've heard that. I've read that. Yeah, I can see that coming. Like you said, it's corporatism at its worst. They're in control. They're the new governments. There's just no doubt about it. They're
terrible. Silicon Valley is just awful.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible. Anyway, let's get back to your sons because you mention them all the time. I think we'll go another 20 minutes. I guess we should talk about Exclave. How much time do we need to get? Should we give to that? 10 minutes at the end?
Just go to myxclave.com, myxclave.com. No need to talk about it.
Who got xclave.com? Because obviously you would have put xclave, wouldn't you? No, that can't be right.
Yes. It's a Russian website, and it expired, and it's still in the expiration phase, so that takes a little bit of time. I don't care. I'm not big into names.
Yeah.
Domain names. Like, what's a Google? What's an Apple? Like, They're billion-dollar companies. I don't care about that.
Yeah, I just went to xclave.com. It says it can't be found, so it's in limbo land now is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah.
But my xclave, and is there any... What's the marketing behind that name? I think you put an X. X is a power letter. I know that.
Well, it's a Masonic letter, too.
Okay.
Also, do you know that there are diagonal elevators in life?
Diagonal elevators. They actually go diagonally?
Mm-hmm.
No. I've been on a lot of elevators.
Mm-hmm. Our airport, in a Freemasonic lodge, if you go to Alexandria, Virginia, they have a diagonal, allegedly have a diagonal elevator. I wouldn't know. You're not allowed on the top floors. A visitor can just go to the first floor.
Really? What is the use of a diagonal elevator?
You mean what's the benefit?
Yeah, benefit, use.
I don't know. It's just cool.
Okay.
So our airport, each location we have has an airport. We have air taxi service, so we're going to hop from one exclave to another, and you will go to the top and take your air taxi in a diagonal, two diagonal elevators, which will form an X. The coolest freaking thing ever.
I see the diagonal elevator. There's lots of them on the internet. That's interesting. What flying cars? You throwing that around like you're the Jetsons. What are you talking about?
Yep, there's something called Sky, SKAI.co. We're going to license their air taxis for use at our place. So we'll license the ability to take their plans and make it on our own. Everything at Exclave is going to be manufactured at Exclave. Nothing in China. Everything will be done here. And if you look, they're testing.
SKI?
Yeah, SKI.co.
Yeah, it's not resolving here.
Really? Let me Skype it to you and see if it helps.
Okay.
Chat.
SKI.
Yeah, go there.
Okay. I will look.
So it's a aircraft that's powered not by electric battery. The problem with electric batteries will always be
SKAI.co.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. I blew it. The problem with electric battery power in air travel is it has very limited range and it doesn't have enough thrust. Hydrogen, which is just electrified water, very inexpensive to manufacture as far as the fuel goes. And it can easily go 400 miles for endurance. So that's what we're going to do. It's going to be the highlight of Exclave. You're going to hop from one place to another, and there's nothing the government can do about it.
Amazing. I'm just looking at that now. Okay. SKI.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool. is it safe?
Yeah. I mean, there are two questions that I get all the time about Exclave. One.
Is it legal?
Isn't the government going to do a Waco on you?
Right.
Well, first of all, Waco was a complete hoax.
Right. It was definitely a staged event made for TV. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Made to scare you so you don't create your own community. So it works brilliantly because that's what everyone refers to. Yeah. Is it safe? Aren't they going to do a Waco on you? And my answer, my politically incorrect answer that's not on the brochure is, what would you rather do? Would you rather live in the hell on earth that's coming in the next couple of months or take your chance, a little bit of a leap of faith and, you know, reside on 1,000 acres per location and have a wonderful life? By the way, for people who don't know, my exclave is – it's like a master plan community that we don't wear masks. We don't social distance. We don't take vaccines. It's total freedom like the good old days. It's like going to Celebration Florida without the creepy Disney World.
Right. And where is it going to be?
First one's going to be in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, only because of my wife. I live there.
Right.
But we'll have the goal is to have the target is to have 150 locations dotted throughout America, and we're only going to be in America because the gun laws make it. Everyone's going to be packing heat. No one's going to be messing with us.
Okay.
It's going to be concealed carry.
Right.
Everyone, Everyone is like texting me right now from this audio. They're really? All hating on me. Yeah.
That's not nice. I turned my audio on my phone off. You should do the same.
Yeah. Let me do that. I'm going to turn off.
My phone cannot ring. How do they have your phone number?
I hardly ever get emails, and I stupidly gave Johnny Clues my email, so he just keeps contacting me about how much of a douchebag I am.
Oh, for God's sake.
So I just turned off. I just silenced it. So anyway, yeah, there'll be 150 locations in 5 years. That's the target. All it takes is money. We're using existing technology. This sky thing is existing technology. It's yes. ready to roll. The only reason it's not in the air right now is because it's government that's uh-huh. red taping it. At Exclave, there is no government. There's no taxes. There's no laws, the government laws. Uh-huh. The best way to describe it is it's rules without rulers. Huh. We have the golden rule that we go by. Everyone's cool. Everyone's concealed carry. No one's going to mess with us, and we're going to live a great life. So my question for you, and then we can go back to your questions, is I asked you last time, what is your 0 to 10 score of your interest of going on an exclave? Now that a month of nonsense has happened, has your score gone up from 0?
Maybe a decimal point, but really, I am – the way I describe myself is I am a very calculated risk taker, which means hardly at all. If there is a cliff and someone wants to jump off it into the water, I'll be the second last guy to jump in. I'll wait till everyone has tested the water to see how deep it is. I'm just that's where I am now. Mm-hmm. It's probably gotten worse over the years as I get older because I'm just more risk adverse. I'd probably be way deep down the line at this point, but mm-hmm. my personal situation has not got really bad as many people's have.
Have you really analyzed what you think is going to happen in the next couple weeks or a couple months? The hell on earth that's coming?
Maybe not really. Do you know something I don't know? Because
I sure do.
Okay, let's hear it. I'm still in 2010.
Well, I mean, again,
I'm listening to your old audio. So things were pretty good back then.
Things were great, and everything was great until March 13th. I know you say 11th. I say 13th. March 13th, 2020. I mean, I am forced now, and so are you, I'm sure, to watch mainstream news every day to know what bullshit rules are in effect. Where we didn't have to worry about that 5 months ago.
Well, I'm not watching it, and I'm hearing about it here and there. What does your wife say? Because your wife is sort of your opposite. She,
yes.
At least that's the way she was in 2010. So where is she on the insane, this is going insane meter? How likely is she to join you in Exclave?
Okay, ready for this? Ready for this?
I'm waiting.
My wife. Get this. This is how bad it is. I am pinching myself in glee with this decision. She agreed last week to be our first grade school teacher at Exclave.
Okay. All right. That's amazing.
She's ready. She said, if I have to take a vaccine, I'm going to do early retirement and quit on day one. That's how full circle monkey she's changed compared to just 6 months ago.
So maybe you made the audios for her.
Well, of course I made the audios for her.
No, you said it was for
me. I made it for anyone who is willing to listen. Yeah. I also made it for my parents who are – my dad just turned 79 years old who I haven't spoken to in 9 years.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to get an update on all the family members. Well, I didn't know the last few years. I know you were saying – in 2010, which is 10 years ago. I think you were talking mm-hmm. to him in 2010.
Yes, I was. But soon after that, I asked my dad, or I asked my mom, I said, can you tell me one good thing about my children? And she couldn't.
No, so she just didn't know very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. I raise my children in a very unorthodox way. They don't have bedtimes. They're not told what to eat. I tell them not to go to school. And that just drives my parents nuts. And I ask the same question to my mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. Can you name one? Now, my mother-in-law adores my children. My parents live in Orlando. Mm-hmm. My parents have not even seen my children 20 times in their lives. My mother-in-law has probably seen my children 20,000 times. Mm.
Does she live nearby?
Absolutely.
Near to
well,
me?
She died in a very – she got hit by a tractor-trailer truck on
God
a bike.
Sakes. Oh, you're kidding. That's terrible. No.
Well, yeah, whatever. So
well,
you know,
yeah, whatever. I thought you okay. What happened?
Am I a bad person for saying that?
What happened? Because I'm a tractor-trailer driver. I'm guessing she got turned on. He turned on.
No. She was abused with her husband. She would always go on a bike to escape.
Oh, wow.
And every year she would be in the hospital. She would get hit by a guardrail. She would get hit by a car. Very selfish, very selfish woman. Jeez. Not a big fan of the woman. So, so one day she got smack, dab, boom, tractor trailer, lights out, done.
Oh,
but before that happened, a month before that, I asked her the same thing. I said, can you name one good thing about my children, the ones that she adores? And she kept saying, Marky, that's a ridiculous question. I'm like, well, can you just answer it? Just one thing. Because, again, if she were to admit that they came out to be great kids, children, it would prove that my weird way of raising them, it would validate my weird way of raising them. That's why they couldn't answer the question. Uh-huh. So with my mom and my dad, I haven't spoken to them since I asked that question. Remember when I talked how I went to Disney World?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago,
uh-huh.
I went specifically so that my children can go see their grandmom uh-huh. and grandfather, and they blew them off. Huh. It's a bad situation.
Well, that's not good. I guess your wife wouldn't be too happy about that.
It's devastating. I mean, who wants to have it so that situation? I mean, and I don't speak to a single person on my side of the family, not a single person on her side of the family. People just think I'm crazy, and I'm sure you get the same treatment. Not maybe that to that degree, but everyone who is listening to this right now is probably going through that.
Well, but so your wife is still, so she's now coming more over to your side of the way of thinking. Is that just to keep the peace, or is that because she's convinced herself? Because you have to convince yourself.
How can you not see what's happening? You have to be blind.
Yeah. I meant before 3/11, for instance, say the last few years.
Before 3/11, everything was terrible. I mean, like I was, my business went off a cliff exactly a year ago, June 2019. That's when the official recession started. And, I was doing well. And then all of a sudden I lost 75% of my business, which was similar to what happened 6 months before 9/11, same exact thing. Mm-hmm. So that was bad. The food is terrible. We travel every week. We go out and discover America every week, and going out to a restaurant was, restaurants were closing up 6 months before 9/11 or before, last year.
Yeah.
Something really bad was coming, but she still thought life was great and we were free to do whatever we wanted. And, she somewhat agrees with what I say, but as soon as March 13th is when she was told she had to do Zoom.
All right. She was
class.
The schools were closed.
Yes.
Is that right?
Right. Okay. And all of her personal stuff was in her room mm-hmm. and they convinced her, hey, get out of the room as soon as possible. It's dangerous. Mm. But don't worry. You can go back in 2 weeks.
Right. Okay.
2 weeks turn into now.
Right.
School's
canceled for the year. Melissa was here.
Well, not here. They're still saying that they're going to go back. They don't know yet, but they'll probably go back. What they're doing here in the States is they're doing every other day. Half the kids go Monday. The other half go Tuesday.
Right.
Then it's Zoom call on Wednesday. It's the most ridiculous thing ever.
We don't even have a plan for September. We really have no idea. There is no plan that I've heard. And universities more my children are university, and there's uh-huh. no real plan. They're still just, I don't know what they're doing. There's no.
Are they going to skip a year?
There's just ideas. No, they're going to do something. It's definitely going to be virtual in September, but they're not explaining exactly how it's going to happen. There, you know, Zoom is, where did Zoom come from anyway? It's Zoom. I've watched a couple Zoom conversations. I've never done a Zoom. I joined my nephew's Zoom graduation. Grade six graduation. Yeah. The children graduate in grade six. It's insane. But anyway, there was a pretty good meeting on Zoom for that. Their teacher did a good job doing something, but it's just such a, it's such a messy, awful technology where there's all these boxes and there's a million noises. Not one person has invested in a $20 mic, so everyone's just echoing. It's just such a very annoying technology. And I thought, this is bad. If we're basing the education system on Zoom technology or Skype or whatever crappy virtual, no one's going to learn anything. It's just going to be terrible. No. I think.
And my wife tells me no one is showing up to the Zooms, and my wife is nice on the eyes and children like that, and they're still not even showing up for her.
Well, because you don't have to. Who's there to whip you? Who's there to whip you?
Exactly.
I have a hard enough time showing up for my own show. And I like doing it.
But
if something distracted me, if I was a young child and I'm being very good tonight talking to you, because normally when I'm talking to someone, if I get bored, I start surfing and looking and working on my website, and I'm not listening because mm-hmm. a computer is so distracting. I've got mm-hmm. 5,000 windows open, 10 programs competing with each other, and they're flashing and lighting up and ringing and dinging, you know, emails. It's so distracting. I can't even do my accounting when I sit down, because I go on my website, I go on this site, and next thing I know, 3 hours have gone by and I've done absolutely nothing. It's crazy.
Right.
And right. same with children. How are they ever going to mm-hmm. concentrate when I watched my daughter. She has a laptop on her lap, trying to write mm-hmm. an essay. She has her phone in her hand at the same mm-hmm. time. So she's got competing screens. She's got maybe a music playing off the phone, and she's playing a game, and she's trying to, on her laptop. It's crazy. You can't focus. You cannot get anything done in that situation. No brain works that way. So that's why I have no confidence in the future of education if it's going to be virtual. It's just not going to work. It's a disaster.
I think it can work. We're going to make it work with my wife. Do you have what's it called? Not P.F. Chang's. It's a chain of Chinese takeout places in the United States, and I'm sure you have them in Canada. Anyway, they have these. What's it called?
Manchu Walk?
Nah.
That's a big one.
Let me see if I can find it. Chinese Bel Air, Maryland.
What about it?
So it's called... anyway, what they do is they have these keynote PowerPoint animated behind-the-scenes cartoon graphics of how they make the food, where it comes from. It's addictive. You can't stop watching it. While you're eating, you're watching the screen, mm-hmm. and it's like this most addictive animated keynote presentation mm-hmm. of how they make the food. And
Are you at the Chinese restaurant, or are you talking about?
Well, it's kind of like a sit down to go type of place. They specialize in that.
Okay. Okay. What?
So that's mm-hmm. the reason I bring that up is because that's one of the ways that we're going to do remote learning with Exclave. It's going to be included in the membership is education. My wife is an elementary school. It's, you know, right now distance learning is huge. No one's going to school. So we're going to offer propaganda free distance learning. Okay. But what I told my wife is, I was like, she's like, well, I'll just do Zoom. And I'm like, no, you're not going to do Zoom because No one can learn from Zoom. They're not paying attention. You need to addict them. You need to make it so that they can't wait to see the next slide because it's fun. It's got a cartoon dog and it barks and it's animated. So that's literally what normally takes her 15 minutes to do a lesson on Zoom takes days to make these videos that we're working on. But it's going to be worth the effort.
What about the one-room schoolhouse that the Amish do? I still think that's a pretty good way to learn when you have older people and younger people mixing it up and experience. Yep. Back to basics might just be the one-room schoolhouse, honestly.
I told my wife, I said, get the students online to learn the basics, and I'll take it from there. Now, the Amish, do you know that they stop school at age at grade 8?
I think you said that. And for many people, grade 8 is as far as they should go, and they should just get a trade. So many people are wasting their time in higher education because not everyone is meant to be a great thinker. We need people to swing an axe, to saw wood. Who's going to do that? A PhD is not what we need to build houses. And yeah, I
that's agree. Right.
We stretch out school far too long. It's you lose your audience at grade 8. That's when we decide who is meant to be cerebral, who's meant to be physical. And there's nothing wrong with being physical. And some of the most logical people are people. I can't build a shed. My friend can build a shed, and it looks like a builder built it. I don't have the patience to line up the wood and nor the time. But yeah, we need people that can do stuff like that. Obviously. But yeah, school goes on too long for most people, and it's a total waste of time.
And you should do you pay attention to the homework when you come down for dinner and they're working on homework? Do you pay attention to what they're learning?
I have, yes. I've been quite attentive, I think. And I do discuss it as much as possible.
And do you notice that you – by the way, it's called Panda Express. I finally found it. Panda Express.
Okay. I don't think that's here.
So I found myself literally every night coming down to eat dinner and they're working on homework and I'm just shaking my head. I'm like, that is complete and utter propaganda crap. That's more, you know, recycling crap. And there are too many people on Earth crap. And, oh, you know, the parents are bad people. Listen to the state crap.
Yeah.
Every night it was that. It was so frustrating.
Yeah, I heard some of that from maybe the social – sort of the social studies type, geography type courses, but math was math. English, I don't know if they were able to inject the propaganda into certain courses, but I heard some of it. Yeah, the climate change was big. That was very big. It was injected into some of those type of classes, but for sure.
I still have fights with my wife, and I have one more question for you before you run.
Okay.
I still have fights with my wife about being sick and contagious. My wife is always like, how do you explain that we all get sick at the same time?
Yeah.
What would you say to my wife?
Well, first of all, we all don't get sick at the same time. Right. I have a pretty good immune system, or I'm doing the right thing over the years. And when other people get quote unquote sick, I don't get sick. So that's not true. Generalization, I don't think is true for many, many people.
She as a school as a school teacher, she'll go. I'll be teaching a class, and then four people get the stomach bug all at the same time.
Well,
how do you explain?
I can't explain every single thing. I think there's such thing as bacteria, and bacteria I believe is real and. We can see it with our eyes, and certainly it's possible that certain bacterial things can be passed between children, I suppose. I think in the winter, when we are so deprived where we live in the northern part of sun, for instance, the sun, I know on December 21st, I believe it comes up after 8 and goes away around 4. So there's only 8 hours of sunlight. That is not helpful because we need sun. So that's why people tend to get more ill in the winter Plus, they're not outside really at all. People travel from, say, their house to their car, all indoor, recycle there, to their office. So they're never really outside for very long. Now, I work outdoors, obviously, driving around. So I knock on wood, am almost never sick. But I also don't exchange breaths with too many other people in my line of work. It's mostly me and outside, and I do pretty well. So I think certain things are communicable, but it's my website that I registered, you can't catch a virus. I really believe that the virus part is not communicable. I really don't think so. I don't think anyone, I don't want to go on and on about the exact, what I think about viruses, but I just don't think you can catch a virus, period. So they are promoting the coronavirus as communicable, as highly infectious, and their stories change every single day to just, I'm waiting for them to say, if I look at you, you will get it. Because that's how extreme the stories have been. That's how many crazy, it's in the air, you don't even need to cough anymore, it's just your exhalation of air. It's they're getting really ridiculous with their propaganda.
Sure.
So
I think their purpose to confuse us. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are explanations why certain people in, say, a household might get sick together. For instance, they're breathing the same air, they tend to eat the same food, drinking the same water. So maybe things from that, those similarities can create sort of a sympathetic illness amongst everybody. But overall, just if I just don't think viruses are infectious. I think the guy interviewed, David Crowe, the infectious myth, I think that's a perfect name for describing viruses. It's a myth. It is a myth that viruses are infectious, period. If people can, and I talked to my dentist who saw me for the first time this week, and she thinks, by the way, in September she'll be closed down again. She's a real doomsayer, and this is wrecking her business as well.
Did you hear what they're doing in the UK with dentistry?
Not really. I get my UK news from Vernon Coleman, who I think is a pretty great find. But what are they saying there?
There's going to be no drilling because it'll aerosolize COVID. Right.
Well, my daughter's going for, I don't even want to say, 7 cavities next week because she hasn't seen the dentist since last year. And I know what you say about the dentist, but I take the opposite approach when it comes to dental health. I think that your dental health is one of the easiest ways to good health. I think just cleaning by a professional, and if you go often enough, you can stay ahead of the curve and never have a problem. But because...
Oh, I totally disagree with that.
Yeah, I know you do. But if you just... And this goes back to bacteria. Bacteria takes 3 months to form a colony and be organized and be destructive. So if you can literally kick over the anthill before they become destructive, because as you know, it takes no effort to kick over an anthill and you completely disorganize the colony and it takes them weeks to reorganize. Same with bacteria. If you can get ahead
of how long a cavity takes to form?
Go ahead.
6 months to 6 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think cavities can be reversed?
I think that the destructive nature, like I was saying, of a bacterial colony can be literally stopped if you go every 3 months, which is what I do. If you go every 3 months, you will disorganize the bacterial colonies under your gum line, which you cannot brush out easily unless you, I know you say you can scale yourself, but
I
can barely floss myself without cutting myself. Actually, I just went to the dentist last week, as I said, and I had a real pain in my gum, and she said, well, that's because you sliced right into your gum with your floss. It's an exact match to your floss. So I said, She said, just stop flossing there for a few days and calm down. Don't slice into the gums. You got to stop before the gum, she said. I said, yeah, you're right. I guess I was a little too loosey-goosey. But anyway, if you can stop the bacteria from producing the waste, And if you go every 3 months, you'll be able to do that. And your dentist will have absolutely nothing to do other than talk your ear off while they have sharp instruments in your mouth. But that's
so then why, if that's the case, why does your daughter have 7 cavities?
Well, she hasn't been since last year. She's almost up to a year because her appointment.
You think in 1 year she got 7 cavities?
I think definitely there could have been, say, 5 cavities that were on the verge, and just because there hasn't been perfectly professional cleaning, yeah, I think it could have easily occurred. Did I tell you
that I paid a New York City dentist a consulting fee to give me a second opinion about my son?
No, go ahead. I didn't know what happened to him.
So my son got root canal.
Okay, right.
14 years old.
Okay.
That doesn't happen to a 14-year-old.
Okay. But and, what I don't know anything about his dental history, though. And I'm not.
Oh, I'll tell you. I'll tell you real quick because I know you're running out of time.
I'm running out of steam too.
Okay. This is a good story.
Okay.
We'll end on a good story.
All right.
So he had a chipped tooth a year ago. My wife didn't tell me about it because she knows how I feel about dentists. I loathe the entire industry.
Okay.
He had the deepest problem, the dentist. I got 3 different opinions. They all said this was like the worst thing they ever saw in their life. Okay. So they all agreed, get the root canal. That's why we went into that story.
Okay.
When we were in New York, and the reason I went to a New York dentist is because I didn't want someone who was going to be biased. I wanted someone who knew they weren't going to get my case, and I was willing to pay them $100 an hour for an honest look at the x-ray.
Okay.
What's it?
Go ahead.
So we happened to go up to New York because before the root canal, my son was in such tremendous pain that he needed a half root canal to release the pressure. Okay. And the only person who can see him on a Sunday at 7 o'clock in the morning in New York City was this dentist in New York City who was doing this teledentistry stuff. Anyway, I'm there. I'm talking to him. He's very open about things. I trust him completely. I said, can you reverse a cavity? He said, yep. All comes down to nutrition, has nothing to do with brushing your teeth and flossing, nothing to do with it. As long as it doesn't go past the dentin, it can be reversed through good nutrition.
Okay.
Then he said, you might want to check on his other molar. The one molar got the root canal. The other side, he said, there's a touch of a beginning formation of a cavity. When you go get the root canal, have them do a full set of x-rays and confirm it. Uh-huh. And that's what we did. Actually, we waited till after the root canal. We got the bridge on for him. He got the full set of x-rays. X-rays, not a speck comes back of anything. Uh-huh. My wife opens her big damn mouth and says, well, we were told by the New York dentist that there was a beginning. We should keep an eye out on the other molar. And then my old dentist says, oh, well, I haven't done the visual inspection yet. The x-ray is different. Let me do the visual inspection. Oh, yeah. You're right. There's a cavity. Let's book an appointment. Okay. So you being a fan of Dennis,
yeah,
with what I just told you, nothing showed up on the x-ray, on the computer x-ray. This is the newest technology. Would you have agreed to get a cavity filled that didn't show up on an x-ray?
Well, I don't know because like I said, my daughter has 7 cavities. 2 of them are shadows on the x-ray. And
what is that?
Well, that sounds like what you just said, the beginning of a cavity, because they're just
there was not even a shadow. There was nothing. He didn't see anything. He said he's fine. And then my wife goes, well, hold on.
Okay. Well, like,
this is why I hate this industry, because he tried to sell us a $600 filling with nothing showing up on the x-ray. He didn't say, oh, let me make sure. Let me take the x-ray again. What he said is the x-ray is 2-dimensional and a tooth is 3-dimensional, and that's why I didn't catch it. And I'm like, are you fucking shitting me? Really? You're going to say that? Really?
Well, you did the right thing by going to more than one dentist, and you certainly have the ability to travel around. We do that here as well. But I really think that cleanliness – before the problem starts is the easiest way, and the bacteria in your mouth can easily go in your bloodstream if you have inflammation, which is caused by the plaque, which is caused by the bacteria. And when, if the bacteria gets towards your heart, that's when you can get inflammation in around the heart, and then all the heart disease type ailments can occur. So that I'm still a big believer in that. And even though I'm not a great, I don't listen to him anymore, I think Howard Stern does the same thing. He's a 3-monther, and most people go to the dentist on their insurance company schedule, not on the actual science or health schedule that actually makes sense. They go when their risk reward, as calculated by the insurance company, says to go. And actually, I think about 10 years ago here anyway, most insurance companies switched to 9 months. Now, how is that possible when we're eating more sugar than ever before and eating more poorly? And if you subscribe to the nutrition model of tooth decay, mm-hmm. like you do, which is fine. Mm-hmm. So there's no logical reason for that. That's actually worse. So
I'll end on this note.
Mm-hmm. What will Xclave have? What will they have in their?
Well, it's funny you say that because I actually contacted my old dentist who peddled this bullshit.
Yeah.
And I asked if I could buy his practice.
Whoa. Where'd the money come from?
And he ignored me twice. I asked twice and he ignored me, which is fine. But the reason I want to buy it is because I know what's coming to America. You're not going to be able to get a filling. You're not going to be able to get a root canal because of this COVID bullshit. And at Xclave, you can. And that's what I want. I want someone who's willing to pay $4,000 for a root canal to come to Xclave and become a member.
Oh, I got it.
And I know he's not going to be in business 2 months from now when they close the whole thing down again.
Well, I'm not quite as doom and gloom as you are saying. Now, I know that, for instance, my dentist did a polish because she said her office, she put in the air cleaning system. But the other dentist where my daughter went, they did not do the polish because that is flying toothpaste all through the air and whatever. I didn't find out why they didn't, but the point is that it seems like it's just different interpretations of the rules everywhere right now. But I don't think everything is going to be shut down the same way. I'm not quite as doom and gloom at the moment, so I'm not, I don't.
Did I send you the MIT Imperial College article?
No.
I promise we're going to end on that. Let me send that to you.
That's fine. No, you send me some stuff.
And it's going exactly as planned by the week. By the week. So let's see. Coronavirus. I go there. And then I go there. And then I search for MIT. And here we go. The article's name is called "We're Not Going Back to Normal."
Oh, I agree. We're not going back to where we came from. I hate the word normal now. They've wrecked it. It's just like fake. They wrecked the name fake when Trump started yapping about fake news. I've seen a few "We're Not Going Back" articles, but yeah, I'll read this.
But do this. Go to the middle of the article and look at the graph.
Okay. ICU cases, is that it? No.
Yeah, that one, where it goes up and down and up and down by the date.
Okay.
We are following that exact trajectory, exact
you and chart. You in the U.S. You see, I know you guys don't get Canadian news, but up here, everyone is convinced. Everyone is fully subscribed to you can catch a virus. There's no doubt about it. My wife and I, we discuss. She's totally anti-mask. She can't stand any of this. She pretty much has been a fakeologist for years now. Not interested, but she agrees with it. But she's probably an anti-masker without the fakeology point of view. So I said to her, well, now they've passed mask bylaws. I shouldn't say bylaws. They are regulations, whatever it is, that's not a law. They've passed it. I don't know.
Oh, guideline.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Mandate.
I don't know what the hell they called it where I live exactly. But whatever it is, you got to mask. So I just said, are you going to mask up before you go into your stores? Because she's the one that goes into the stores, not me. And I said, you can, if you don't mask up, you better be ready for a confrontation with somebody. You are definitely going to be confronted. So you have to decide, do you want to be a Jesuit and pretend to be a masker? You know what they say? You have to slide into whatever awful position in life to camouflage yourself, to infiltrate? Or do you want to confront? Because if any of these videos that we're watching are real on Twitter and whatnot of the confrontations, and my daughter who was in a store, she witnessed one with her own eyeballs, so I trust her. And it was over bananas. Somebody was touching the bananas, and he wasn't wearing a mask. And a guy literally came up to him. They started arguing, and the guy who confronted him said, "Do you want to take this outside?" Like, in other words, do you want to duke it out over touching bananas? You know, to see which, or rolling the bananas over to make sure they're not bruised or damaged on one side. This is happening probably millions of times, unreported, all over the place now. Because you have this, you have this activated zombie army out there. So they think you.
Yeah.
So the point is, where I live, we are not having the cases that are being simulated in the United States and in the southern states. You guys are, this hoax was designed for the U.S. I'm telling you,
I agree.
If you, and I know you subscribe to Agenda 20, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, America 2050. You believe that that is what is happening. I agree with 100%. You 100%. So you've seen them. Have you seen the map of America 2050? You must have, because I posted on my website. Just Google. Let me look that up. Search for America 2050. Because this is North. Okay. This is North America. Is it on Wikipedia here? America 2050 is on Wikipedia. There's a map.
Yeah, I found it.
The mega regions.
Yep.
You can see that. Well, since our border. Our population's right on the U.S. border. So you can see there's America 2050. So which country's rules are more like the New World Order? Yours or Canada? Well, of course, we're the loyalists. Canada is a New World Order nation. We are the ones that did not leave the Queen's realm. And by the way, I just read something because I wanted to get something from my in-laws, who just passed their 65th anniversary. God love them. And it said, if you're not in the Queen's realm, R-E-A-L-M, great word, then you can't get one of these special happy anniversary certificates. But anyway, we are part of the Queen's realm here. So we are in the New World Order. We already are fully subscribed to it. So the problem child is the United States, because you got this pesky First Amendment, you got the Second Amendment. These are pesky things. And if we are going to integrate our two countries plus Mexico, then you guys are the ones that are going to have to pretty much get rid of your constitution, give up your guns. You guys are the ones that are going to have to be beaten down. I'm sorry. And you know, as an American, I weep because you guys are the last. America's the last great holdout to this idea of individuals, freedom, self-reliance. And of course, we all know that they've created at least two generations now of some pretty addicted to government people, including the United States. So you guys are the ones that are going to get the spanking from the COVIDs. This is designed for America. So if we are going to have an integrated North America, well, we're not going to have guns. There won't be a border. So if we have free movement of people from Mexico all the way to Canada, then the laws are going to have to look a lot more restrictive. The taxes are going to have to be a lot more high, like they are here. Now that is a huge order for America. When I saw this map years ago, I thought, how the hell are they going to integrate the two countries? Because there's just too many differences in terms of the way you look at life. But I tell you, this COVIDs, this is the magic bullet that just keeps on giving. You can make any change you want, spend as much money as you want. It's, and people are so convinced that it's real. This is the biggest problem. So they will do whatever they are told in the name of COVID. And that's why you guys are getting these super insane simulation numbers. And Canadians, I'm telling you, my wife wants to go over the border so we can go to some of the restaurants that aren't here. But the border's closed for all intents and purposes.
Right.
And that's what Canadians are, I believe the last survey, real or not, is 81% of Canadians do not want the border open. They do not want the COVID nation of America coming over here. We don't even want you cutting through to Alaska, through Alberta or BC. They are so zombified here. They're so convinced this is real. This is why I said to my wife, you better mask up unless you want to fight. So
what did she come up with? Is she going to mask up?
She already did.
Oh, so she's not going to fight then?
No. No, she doesn't want to get – I mean, it's crazy. These people in this – it's too much. It's too much right now. I don't know if it's ever going to cool off anytime soon, but these numbers, the simulated numbers, and we all know they're simulated, are off the charts where you are. So you are getting a different version than we are. You're getting America version off the charts. So that's why your perspective is probably different than mine. And yeah, I would be worried if I was there because that creepy health minister of yours, that transgender guy who's just a riot to listen to in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. That guy is a monster, man. And make no doubt, I've said this here in Canada, the most powerful person in Pennsylvania is whatever that guy's name is. Because everyone does what he says. Unelected.
Dr.
Strangelove. What's his name?
Dr. Levin.
Right. The health officers, whatever they're called, medical officers, chief medical officers, they're barely doctors. They probably couldn't even write a prescription because they're epidemiologists, which is just the study of infectious disease. Now, if most diseases aren't infections, then these guys are just astrophysicists of medicine to me. They are just science fiction figures. And they are the most powerful people in every single jurisdiction in the world right now. Like our premier, says, oh, I don't know if we're opening next week. I don't know if we're going to stage three. I got to ask the doctor. Right. I got to ask him. I just follow what he said. Our clown premier, which is like your governor, he just says, I don't know. They said, when are we going to stage three? He says, I have no idea. I have to ask the doctor. I just listen to him. I mean,
do you know in the state insane. That I'm at? You know, in the state that I'm at, we have to wear a mask as soon as we go outside?
I'm sure. Well,
have you heard that?
I haven't heard about Pennsylvania because I can't keep track anymore. There's just too many. Most of the jurisdictions are pretty synchronized in the world, but here it's indoors. But for how long? I posted one video where some clown in Texas was saying, you better mask up even in your own house with your own family. I mean, come on. So I know why you're probably more off the charts ready to jump than say I am here, for instance. I can see that. We just get different information. But your information is quite extreme, and I can see why you want to start your own country as soon as possible. It makes sense to me. So, well, we've gone 2.5 hours. It's been very interesting, as I expected it to be.
Can you agree?
Tell us where your audios are and tell us what people like me can go listen to Marcus Allen in 2020. Where are your podcasts and how do you get them and what do they cost?
Well, I have a free e-newsletter, which includes some audios. That's free. You can go to mytruth123.com.
Okay.
And if you want to escape the hell on earth that we're living in and here in America and want to help me financially build my little enclaves, it's called Exclave, you can go to myexclave.com, myxclave.com.
Okay. And are you still doing Hoax Syndicate? Is there audios? Are there audios there as well?
See, I don't know how much I'm supposed to say. All I know is he has refunded everyone who is a member.
Oh, okay.
And he told me 5 weeks ago or so that he was pivoting and that he was going to let me know what the pivot would be after a couple weeks. It's now been 5 weeks. And then I spoke to Joel by email because someone had questions about Exclave. Uh-huh. And he told me he had an email waiting in draft to send me. So it doesn't sound too good.
Oh, okay. That sucks.
So I doubt – it does suck. Uh-huh. I've heard Joel on your talks recently say that, it's intense doing a podcast with me. And I agree. There's lots of information flying around when I talk.
Yeah.
He likes
I've
to do this
more
sound.
Than you, unfortunately. I'm sorry. You're the guest.
That's okay.
Yeah,
I like having conversations and in conversations it goes back and forth.
Yeah, I think.
But you know, he likes doing the sound effect thing, and he admitted when he's doing the sound effect thing, he gets to kind of zone off, and when there's a gap and there's a funny moment, he can zing in a sound effect.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm not interested in doing. I'm a diva. I admit it.
Well,
you
that's
have to
a
show
morning
up on time.
Zoo. It's a morning zoo type of thing. I like it. That's why I do the fart podcast with these guys. It's just, if you take it for what it is, then you shouldn't be offended. So we got Rolo, we got Exoteric, everyone's talking over each other, it's a shit show. It's fine, cause I know they're mostly fakeologists, although John LeBond says they're all realologists, but you know what? They're good guys, and if you take it for what it is, it's fine. So that's where you can have your zingers, your sound effects, your fart noises, but...
I'm the one who talked Joel into moving away from that.
Yeah.
So I think he probably feels bad, and I'll say it now if he's listening, and I've said it in my emails. Whatever you want to do, I'm totally cool with. I've got plenty to do.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, that's cool. It was great while it was lasted. I had a great 4 week run doing it. John LeBond actually put a challenge up to me. He said, Marcus, I don't think you're going to do it for more than 4 weeks. I'm still willing to do it. I think it's Joel who didn't want to do it for more than 4 weeks.
Well, you decided that we can talk once a month, and because you're busy with your other stuff, that's totally understandable. And the month goes by quite quickly anyhow. And I think it's actually a pretty good amount of time. It gives everyone a chance to do other things as well, and me talking
sure.
to other people. So I like our schedule once a month if you want to keep doing it. It's great.
Yep.
You can get 10 hours worth of audio ideas in a month for sure. A lot changes in a month. It's almost like a whole new world every month. I don't even have a clue where we're going to be in 1 month. So I think our schedule, I think it's a good schedule.
Yeah, and I think that's where where I agree with you, the money problem kicks in. When you have a paywall, you're going to have a hard time getting paid if you do something just once a month. So I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. But if it were up to me, I would do a once a month podcast for pay. Because there's going to be a lot of things that you can talk about where if you're ramming it down people's throats every week because you got to get paid for it because no one's going to do it once a month. So I see where you're coming from. I think once a month is fantastic. Like I actually look forward to the once a month versus the every week. Oh, I got to do another one this week.
Yeah, although I could talk every day if I just read the news like IPS guy does. I think he's a smart guy too, and I could do what he's doing, although it would get boring for me. And probably others as well, but yeah, once a month.
Frankly, it was boring when I did it with Chris Kendall. It got boring. There was like he didn't want to talk about solutions. He just wanted to talk about conspiracy candy, and I like talking about solutions. So for me, it naturally came to an end. It didn't surprise me because we got bored of the things we were talking about.
Yeah, and then Chris's was what we have to use because that's all we can go by. Was a very interesting character. He was a little manic by self-admission. He said he was. And not the most stable person, which he said he revealed all this. This is nothing that anyone would know if they listened to him closely. So he was definitely a interesting character. And I just posted the first audio, I believe, that he was on your show in 2010. Yep. It was quite interesting to hear that, hear him come on the scene, as it were. And, so I think once a month, and well, maybe we should talk about putting our once a month chat behind a paywall somehow, some way. We could discuss that, even though I'm, or maybe one thing that Chris or IPS does is he sells tickets, it looks like, to a live broadcast, which is an interesting idea. So if you want
like pay-per-view?
Pay-per-view, yeah, that's not a bad idea. I don't know if he has any success doing it. And even if we have five people that paid $20 each, well, we all know that it's the people with money that make inventions or products affordable to the masses, and for the honor of getting the product or information first, they pay for it, but they end up subsidizing it for the rest. So I'll make you
a deal right now. You can't refuse, but right. I don't think it's going to work out. And it's the same deal I made with Joel. You charge whatever you want, and you keep 100% of it, and I'll do it.
Well, how's that good for you?
Because I just like to talk, and I use this audio right now is going behind my paywall. So I already have that. Right. But I'm saying if you want to do what Joel did, if anyone wants to do it, anyone who has 100 interviews, I'm not going to do it with someone who's just starting out because it takes like 100 interviews to polish up.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Well, I would feel bad, but Why would you feel bad?
100%. I want you to take 100% of the money.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you deserve it. You're the one running it.
Okay.
And you know what? You know what you should do? You should charge $100.
Okay. I might get one person then.
You won't even get one person, but you can say it'll drive people nuts. I wonder what the hell they were talking about. See? Yeah.
And never.
I would charge.
And don't release it ever. Or.
And don't. Well, it would be released on Xclave, but it wouldn't be released to anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
I'm not kidding when I say that. I think you should charge big bucks. I mean, you know, why not? I mean, the stuff. I have a lot of people still emailing me from a long time ago saying that I've changed their life for the better.
That's
with
nice.
The things that. That's awesome. That's what it's about. I don't care about the money. What's $100 if they're going to get something that changes their life? Now, of course, most of the people listening to this right now live and those who are listening not live mm-hmm. are probably laughing because, you know, I won't say it. They don't see the value in it. Mm-hmm. Fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Why would you put it out to someone who doesn't see the value in it?
Got it. So Xclave is how much a month, or how do you do the pricing? And they get all the audios as well.
Mm-hmm. Charge on a weekly basis. It's $19 a week for basic. Mm-hmm. I have one that's $99 for a premium, and I have one that's $2,000 a week. Wow. I'm releasing that in the second. Well, yeah.
What do you get this for $2,000 awesome. A week?
You get unlimited everything. It's like that. You get front of the line. It's like it's the best pass at Disney. You get unlimited air travel, which I actually got the idea from GZ started it, a fractional jet ownership airline. Do you know about this?
I've heard the concept, but who started GZ? Yeah.
He was an investor.
Okay.
And I actually joined, and it's a shit show. It doesn't work. You don't get unlimited. You only get certain legs, empty legs. It's not unlimited. This is for $2,000 a week. You get unlimited travel.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay. Plus the audio.
But for now, most I don't even have those two options up yet. Right now, in fact, it's discounted. It goes up $1 every week. I think it's $14 a week, and until it reaches $19 a week, that's when I cap it off.
Okay. Very good. Is there just a membership for just getting the audios?
Well, yeah, if you get the basic membership. Okay. But it will include visiting Xclave. If you want to come to any location, that will be included. That also includes the school with the online education. It includes a lot of things. I don't typically do – all my life when I've had paywalls, mm-hmm. that's what I'm known for – I've never done a la carte. A lot of people ask me, should I do all, like Joel was asking, should I do a la carte truth audios? I'm like, no, no, people aren't. Should I charge $7 for this audio and $7 for that? No, probably not. Uh-huh. I don't think it's a good model.
Right. Okay. Well, this audio is free. We'll see what the future, we'll see what the future holds. If anyone wants.
No, look, the last audio you did of me,
yeah,
had no comments, or one comment.
Yeah, most of the stuff gets no comment. Actually, I got a fairly, of all the boards that I frequent, this one doesn't get a lot of comments. I don't know why. Well, first of all, you have to register.
Because there's no value.
It's yeah, free. Maybe. Yeah, I guess so. But you have to register through me directly. I don't have self-registration anymore. I couldn't keep the spam away, so maybe that has something to do with it. But
I'm serious. Will you highly consider charging $100 for a next call?
And just not release it unless people pay?
Yeah.
So I'll think about it for sure. I got.
What do you have to lose?
Nothing.
Right.
What about the live? Should I let live? Like, we have six people now listening live at the moment.
No.
So no live. Okay.
No.
All right.
And if no one does it, at least you and I get to talk about stuff. Isn't that what it's about? That's what it's about for me. Yeah. I enjoy talking about this stuff.
All right. I do too. Okay.
I know you get crap. You cave to the crap that people give you for charging for the.
Really? Not. No one's really giving me a hard time because I've always said I'm not going to put it behind a paywall. So no one really is. I'm the resistor. It's really no. Okay. I'm not really listening to anyone in particular. I don't have anyone passionate enough to say that.
Just like I did when in 2010 when I said I'm not looking for pay. Change your mind, please. Change your mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, John LeBond would be jumping over the moon if he heard that too.
He would promote it. John, if you're listening, promote the damn thing. Promote it to your audience, John.
Yeah, okay. Well, then it might get.
Here's one. If John promotes it, we'll give him the audio. He can put it in his behind his paywall. Anyone has a paywall who promotes it gets it.
Okay.
There, everyone with a license who promotes it.
Licensing fee. Got it. All right.
Yeah.
Let me think about it. We'll hash it out by email and. Yep. Maybe figure out a number for the. It'll be a pay per view, I guess, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, and I'll call it that. Look, if MMA, you know, UFC, whatever it's called, can do it, why can't we do it?
Mm-hmm. All right.
And again, you get 100% of the fee. I don't want a single penny.
Right. Okay. That's a great deal. But you'll put it behind your wall and get your. Okay. I don't want to. Let's think about it. Let's figure out a price and let's take bets about if we get even one subscriber.
I got an even better idea. Ready?
Yeah.
Invite John LeBond on.
At the same time?
At the same time.
All right. We'll have a three-way. Is that what you're saying? Three-way discussion.
A three-way pay-per-view.
All right. What? How much is this?
I got one more better. Invite Chris Kendall.
Well, then I'd have to charge a seance fee. That would be worth at least $30,000.
Yeah, everyone's going to be so pissed off with me saying that. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that is. Yeah, you said it. I just, that would be interesting. How much is this audio worth, do you figure? Could you put a value? Have we said anything interesting?
I don't think, like, I'm looking at my notes. That's how I always tell whether it was good or not. My notes are kind of lame.
Yeah.
There's nothing in here that like is solution based and would change anyone's lives. So I'd probably put it close to zero.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking. Oh, that's disheartening.
Well, hold on. Let me share my screen with you. Okay.
All right. This was a.
Now, remember,
I had fun on the call though, but you're saying it's worth nothing?
I don't think it's worth that much.
Oh, great.
So you see my screen, right?
Hold on, it's just black right now. Here we go. Yeah, okay, yeah. Ooh, exclave.
The things that I wanted to talk about tonight. Do you see all the topics?
Right. Well, you see, we're just having... Oh, yeah, that's tons. Yeah, you really do put effort into it. Holy moly. Yeah, I see some waif. That was, what's his name? IPS was talking about waif and Wayfair and all that.
And even that really isn't solutions-based. I mean, it's about child trafficking, mm-hmm. which, like, it really doesn't affect us, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't even like talking about it because it just disgusts me, actually. It makes my skin crawl. If I hear anything mm-hmm. about it, I just turn it off. That's strange, huh? But mm-hmm. do you think that would be worth money?
I think if you have if it's entertaining and people come away with something that would benefit their life, and I can certainly, and you and John LeBon can come up with a little outline of the things that we can talk about, and you don't tell people what it is, and you're just like, you know, and maybe you don't do it every month. Maybe you do one every quarter or mm-hmm. once a year or something.
Yeah, well, you got to be a little more frequent than that. People forget you after a year. We might not even make it a year.
But $100, like, it's $100 to access it. I'm not kidding about the $100 either. Mm-hmm. Don't do it for less.
Right, okay. All right, interesting. Well, I think people would probably just pay to listen to you more than me. So if I'm hosting it and you're giving me the money, I guess I could pay for FacoTube for a month with that. That'd be great.
Right, and you can say, hey, listen, everything goes towards FacoTube. All proceeds go to FacoTube, and to Mrs. Fakeology for the Chanel purse that she gets. You know, because she needs to keep the women happy.
That is true. That is true. All right. Well, maybe we'll have a $1,000 show just to get Mrs. Marcus.
Oh, that would rile up everyone. Oh my God, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
You want her to come on right now? You want her 1 minute solo right now before you go? You want to ask her anything? She said she would come on.
Of course. Of course.
All right, dear. What question do you have? Here, come on.
I'm on the spot.
You have to have a question.
Okay, I'll ask her a question.
All right, come on, hon. You don't have to get all dressed. No one can see you.
Put her on camera.
She's good looking on camera. I would definitely do it.
That's fantastic.
All right, what she's standing right here. She's got her hands on her hips.
All
she's
right.
She's ready to go.
All right.
So you want to know what it's like to
look with
me?
What should I call her?
What should we call you? Trish?
Hello. Hi,
His,
Trish.
Mark's wife.
Hi, Mark's wife.
She can't hear you because I'm on the headphones.
Well, share your headphone.
Okay, go say it again.
Hello, Trish.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. What is it like being the wife of Marcus Allen?
I told you we'd ask that question.
Wow. How much time do you have?
Should we do a teaser on this broadcast and then we'll bring
back? What happened? We'll bring wife on the $1,000 call.
Yes, yes.
And how about your wife? We'll put your wife on.
Yeah, I don't know if she's that.
John LeBon's girlfriend, whoever that might be, mm-hmm. your wife, my wife, $1,000.
Yeah, that would be something. That would be something.
So anyway, ask the question before everyone gets tired.
Yeah.
So what's it like to be? So what's it like being?
What's
married
it
to
really
me?
Like? What is it? What's it really? Us? Yeah.
What's it really like?
Yeah.
What's it really like? What's he really like? Everyone here wants to know because we've only heard about you as being described as my wife. We don't really, we know what you're, he's given us information on what you do, you're always known as my wife. So what exactly is it like being the wife of Marcus?
Wow.
Be honest.
Negatively or positively?
Negatively.
No, give the positive. Come on.
You have
this is
amazing ideas, but it's hard because you're very passionate.
Intense.
And intense.
Yeah.
With your ideas. So.
But you've stuck with him all these years. Now, you're just blink if you need help. And I'll send it, but you've been there.
Just blinking like a maniac.
You've been there all this. I know he's got to get a better setup, but you've been there all this time. So what is it about Marcus Allen that makes you stick around, basically.
Weak in the knees?
Yeah, weak in the knees.
Wow, that's a hard question. Because he is enthusiastic about life, and despite all the negativity in the world, he sees the outlook as promising. And that's worth sticking around for.
That's fantastic. So you see a very positive future with him.
Yes.
Because, yes. So the best is yet to come.
I hope so.
I do too.
I know. I'm starting to get a little nervous, but not because of him.
No, I get it. It's because everyone else around. All right. Well, I'm glad you proved everyone that you're a real person. So that's. You're not just a construct in Marcus's mind. So that's really
good.
Well,
I could be. I don't know who he's thinking about when he keeps talking about his wife, but
thinking about you.
That's nice. Well, that's fantastic. All right. Well, we'll have to have a
back to my headphones.
We'll have to have a better audio connection when we can have a real in-depth interview, and maybe we'll have to push that
on
pay-per-view.
I have three microphones and three headsets. I just didn't know that she was going to. Normally, she's not here when I do the call. So, next time I will set that up very quickly.
All right. Put her on a nice mixer where it can actually. She can hear, and that'll be fine. I don't know if my wife wants to really have much to say. She could come on, but anything she said about me would say about me would be pretty boring. So I'm not quite as entrepreneurial in that sense. So, but all right. Well, that was great. I appreciate you getting her on, and we didn't get your son on. Does he want to say a quick goodbye, or is he gone?
He is in the shower.
Okay.
I probably electrocute him if I brought in the microphone.
Well, next time, but because he wanted to say hi, that would be great. Because
I know.
Again, he's been part of the Marcus Allen show for a long time, so it would be quite interesting to get his perspective.
And it would. I would like to know his perspective myself,
and to see if he's going along or plans to go along with any of it or all of it. It would be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. Well, that'll be on the next show, and if anyone cares about this show, because it is free this time, leave a comment, send me an email. Everything is on my website. Everyone knows the website. I'm not going to say all the way to contact. You can leave a comment or email. So let us know what you think. If this is off the wall, if you'd be willing to pay a premium for a Marcus Allen call, I'm still willing to do it for free, but Marcus is the marketing guy, and he says that this would be worth way more if we charge for it. Now, I'm not caving to the paywall, but I'm always willing
to. You are going to get so many oh, my God, it's going to be the first time you ever get, like, lots of comments. They're all going to be negative. It's going to be fantastic.
That's fine. And you've got the Discord for all those people listening in the Discord. They can put it in there. So that's fine.
So do you have people right now that you can see what they're saying?
I am looking in the Discord now, and there's
everyone who's listening right now, what do you think? Do you hate the idea? I love the haters.
Messages at all in any of the Discord channels, which is crazy. So there you go.
Not really crazy.
I don't see one comment. So all right. Well, we will set a date for next month. In one month, it will be August 9th, looks like. Sunday, okay. August 9th.
Let's do it. Same time, 8 o'clock, right?
8 o'clock seems good. 8 o'clock seems like a pretty good time. I don't normally have to wake up early on Monday, so that way if it goes long, like tonight. But I'm going to pin that in now, Sunday, August 9th. At 8 p.m., and I'm sure there'll be lots to talk about. You know, we can just stick to a script as well. I know you make great notes. I don't really make any notes because I know that things go all over the place. If you want to stick to a script, we can do that too. It's up to you. We just agree to it at the time, but if next month is the month, say, that your son wants to come say hi, then obviously we'd have to forfeit the notes. Or if your wife
I'm not a big note fan at all.
Mm-hmm. But you had a bunch of topics.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's never a dull moment whenever I do these calls because I always have all these topics that I can just go to if there's a dull moment. Mm-hmm. So that would be the only script to have, but it's just suggestions, you know, mm-hmm. things to talk about if we run out of things to talk about.
Which we never will, because in my case, if I want to talk about, if I run out of things to say, depending on the guest, I'll just go to the blog and those are my notes for the day, right. basically. If I only have one note per day, I can probably expound upon it. Like, obviously, there's a million zillion things. I brought up your name off my webpage just to review some of the audios I put from you, and that could take a year to go through. So there's there's lots to talk about. I taught you about America 2050, so that's something I taught you, and that's been
I had no idea. Yep.
That I can see that as one of the many things that COVID can accommodate and make happen. So, all right, let's wrap it up. Let's thank your wife. Okay. Let's thank you.
Yep.
Let's thank the website, myexclave.com. And now I have to go to bed. I'll try and do the audio rendering tonight. Otherwise, people have to wait till tomorrow sometime.
And also, like I did before, I'll send you the Skype. It's going to be way better off the Skype recording than off of what you're probably getting.
You think so? Okay. All right.
Yeah. Certain of that because I do post-editing on it.
Oh, so you
take the noise out.
Oh, you're going to edit. Okay. All right. I didn't use yours last time because I thought my copy was pretty good and I just whipped it out. But I can use your copy as well.
Well, just see which one comes out better, and then you use the better one.
Yeah, but that means I'd have to listen to the whole thing. I'm definitely not listening.
Listen to the first 10 seconds.
Just on my end, I have heard warbling from your connection. So maybe it's not warbling at your end.
Because I haven't had one warble yet. Yep.
Okay, because I'm getting warble. So if that's what I'm recording, then I'd rather have yours. So that's fine.
Yep.
So you're going to send
me. I'm going to work on it right now, and I'll send it to you when I'm done.
All right, so I'll process it. I'll grab it tomorrow then because it's 11 o'clock now. Okay. All right, Marcus, it's been fun. Thanks a lot. And
August 9th. Thank you.
And we'll see you on the emails.
You got it, man. Take care.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.